What is wrong with these people?
Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak.
It's Thursday, October 24th, 2024. This is your award-winning Cable Nation Media Assassination, episode 1706.
This is No Agenda.
Calling all cranks and broadcasting live from the heart of the Texas Hill Country here in FEMA Region Number 6. In the morning, everybody, I'm Adam Curry.
And from Northern Silicon Valley, where it's barbecue weather, I'm John C. Dvorak.
Crackpot and Buzzkill in the morning.
Oh, that's interesting. There's barbecue weather here, too.
Yeah, we're in sync. It's good barbecue weather.
It happens in the beginning of October, I think.
Yeah, well, we're near the end of October. So,
well, that's when it begins.
No, the beginning of October, you were complaining about how warm it was.
Oh, yeah, it was too hot.
Too hot. It's horrible. I'm complaining about it.
Yeah, well, I don't really get to do that for a couple of weeks a year.
Yeah. It's nice here. Although now they're building two lots down and the ground is literally rumbling beneath me.
Why?
Because they're flattening the earth. You know, they're getting the foundation ready.
How much noise do you have to make?
It's not noise. It's a pounding of the earth and rolling heavy machinery over it.
How far away is this?
Two lots.
Oh.
So probably a football field away, I guess.
Huh.
And if you go outside all day, beep, beep, beep.
Oh, I hate that. You know, there's nobody around. They're in an empty lot. Beep, beep.
Hey, dude, just
beep,
don't get behind beep, any of the heavy machinery. We get it. Beep, beep, beep.
That is really, it's the most annoying thing.
It is.
There's no... nobody around.
Yeah, they start at 5:30. You know, they're like, "Oh, we'll get us started early."
Are you in the county or what?
We're in the county. Yes.
No, because there are noise curfews in most cities.
This is Texas. You know, if it really bothers me, I'll take the 12 gauge out and have a little chat with them. In the meantime, they just they're my neighbors. It's okay. We'll be all right.
Beep beep beep.
Allow
beep.
Me. To sum up this week's news.
Hitler is back.
There it is. That's it.
Hitler.
Hitler is back, everybody. Hitler is back. Oh, my God. All right. Allow me to sum up the general vibe amongst the women of MAGA.
Well, I already know the answer to this one.
No. You don't know the answer to this one. Because although I love her very much, I had years of disdain. Naomi Wolf has been very important to me in the last 2 years.
Oh, she's getting on your nerves.
Not getting on my nerves. I feel bad for her because as we have
discussed
that women who are married to former members of military intelligence, there are a few I could think of, for some reason, they're getting information, and I can only presume through their husbands, which is unhinged. And what she is going to explain here in a minute of audio is exactly what is being said around the Berg.
I know that we're going to see, and they're signaling it, you know, we're not going to have an accurate count of the election. Almost all the battleground states, if not all of them, have signaled that it's going to be 4 days. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to say it's going to be 4 days. It's going to be 5 days. It's going to be 6 days. It's going to be 2 weeks. We don't have an accurate count. Oh, no. We have no electricity. We can't count the ballots. They're electronic machines. Right? The electricity is down. I mean, we are this close to that. And then what I thoroughly predict is that there won't be an outcome.
What does she mean when she says she thoroughly predicts as opposed to just predicting?
If your husband is a former military intelligence or any kind of intelligence, this is the stuff that they've been feeding you to put out on social media and to spread the word. I don't understand it. This is next level QAnon stuff. I mean, and not that this comes from QAnon, but it's the same mechanism. She's talking about the grids going down. Here, listen.
It's close to that. And then what I thoroughly predict is that there won't be an outcome to the election. And there will be lots of, you know, unrest and grids going down and food not coming onto shelves, and then they'll provoke. They'll take all these health.
What? The grids are going down.
Food not coming.
The grids are going down. The food will not be on the shelves.
They'll take all these healthy men and women and provoke riots and a crime spree. And that's where it really gets scary. And they'll blame it, as you just heard, on the Trump supporters who will be defending themselves, right? And the first time a Trump supporter, you know, defends him or herself against an intruder, that will be a cause célèbre. And they will lie about, you know, and at that point, how will you know? Because the grid will be down. Oh, they'll say, you know, Trump supporters have set off a dirty bomb in Philadelphia. How will you know?
Wow. Holy moly.
I didn't get to that part,
the dirty bomb.
Someone needs to calm her down. I don't feel good for her. This is, don't worry so much.
This is worse than the micro dots.
It was quantum dots, okay? Get it right.
Get it right.
Well, I think we're
I love the dirty bomb is the icing on the cake.
In Philadelphia, by the way.
In Philadelphia,
hello,
of all
Philly.
Places.
Hello, Philly. The dirty bomb is coming.
Oh, man.
And by the way, anything can happen in this world, but I'm really, calm down.
It seems unlikely.
Calm down.
Yeah, that's true. Anything can happen.
But calm down. Calm down. I think we're witnessing something, though, that I'm kind of seeing some other things taking place that, you know, the thesis which you have agreed to, which has been my thesis for a long time, is the powers that be, let's just call them they, really want Trump to win. And when you think about it, it benefits so many of the involved parties. First of all, we can do a rug pull on the economy. We need something like that. You know, we need to rebase, reset. Something needs to be done. Lots of airtime for politicians. Oh, hair on fire. Lots of podcasts can be created for people like Naomi, and there'll be lots to talk about. But the M5N can run for another 4 years on controversy and whatever else is drummed up in Washington, D.C. And meanwhile, the Democrat Party can prime and pump their next candidate. It's perfect. Why would they not want it?
And the Democrats need to reset, and they know it.
And when I hear something like this, is this report from Tennessee, I was like shocked. I'm telling you, what? Democrats are complaining about this?
The Shelby County Legislative Democratic Caucus, they held a news conference tonight. They said they've been getting phone calls from people who've been having problems entering their vote. Now, the caucus says it happened at about 10 to 12 voting locations across the county, including some in Memphis, Bartlett, Cordova, Conkville, and Arlington. Now, Shelby County Election Commission Secretary Venetia Kimbrough said they believe there was a tech issue with the machines, and the fact that some voters were not using or given a stylus to make their selections. Now, the caucus says the machines had been tried and tested and had shown no issues. Nonetheless, they say voters experienced various hiccups as early voting got underway this week.
She said she had to press the button four times because her vote kept switching from Gloria Johnson to Marsha Blackburn every time she pressed the button. And she said the same experience was happening in Raleigh, where her mother and her aunt voted. And when they would press the button, it would switch also. I find this alarming.
Now let's take a look at a statement from Shelby County Elections Administrator Linda Phillips. That statement says no voting irregularities have been identified. She went on to say, we encourage all voters to carefully review their ballot before casting it. Poll workers are on site at all precincts to assist as needed.
So this is always, always, always a story of Republicans complaining about, the voting machine changed my vote. And now it's Democrats. And then MSNBC aired a special with Black Americans. Holy moly. How did this get through the so-called pro-Democrat system.
What are your feelings? And let me start with the women here about Kamala Harris.
She's a woman of color. I'm not putting her down because of that. And I'm not putting her down because she's a woman. I'm not a feminist, so I'm sorry. But at the end of the day, I don't think that she has the personality. I don't think that she has what it takes to go up against Putin and go up against these other presidents that are built for this. I don't want to be scared because my president is scared. I want my president to feel secure and manly and about it.
We brought up gender, right? Like, do you think it matters that she's a woman and people aren't comfortable having a woman in a top leadership role?
No, I don't think that, because most men, they love their mothers. They love their wives. So as a woman, most men, they respect the woman, but she just don't have the qualification or the education to really run America because she don't have the experience. She don't understand our struggles. And for me to believe you for another 4 years, you're crazy.
Right.
Like, you're crazy. You're saying the same thing that you said 4 years ago.
So the fact that she's the vice president, that's to you, the is bottom line. You're like, you've been here, you've had a chance.
Yes.
This went on for minutes and minutes and minutes, and then let's just get down to it, because look, we all know it.
Well, for me, the very first time I ever heard the name Kamala Harris, it was in association to locking up parents for a truancy. That was the first time I ever heard of her name, and I really didn't understand how this person claims to be a black woman, but yet she's locking up black women and black men and separating families.
This is a thing that is... Trump talks about this a lot. He says, you know, Kamala Harris became black when it was convenient.
Right. Yep.
Can you talk to me about, do you agree with him on that? Do you feel like she's wearing her blackness?
Absolutely. When she sworn into the Senate, it was as the first Indian American.
Thank you.
Which is fine. We don't care.
We all know she's not black. That's understated. We are all clear of that. But my point of view, like I told you earlier, she's already been there. She's in office right now.
Oh, they got all the points. MSNBC is airing this? What is wrong? What is happening here?
Well, it's funny because it's not on any show.
It's in prime time.
Well, where was it presented? What show was it on? I've seen these clips and you can find them online and they're all over the place, and it's supposedly some special or something, but what specifically, where did it actually show up on the network itself?
Like, that matters with zero viewers. The whole point. The whole point is social media.
Touche on that one.
Thank you. And then, right, so I'll take you to...
This is a sabotage.
Yes, and then Wolf Blitzer, I'm going to play the greatest hits here and make people love Trump even more.
Let me play some of the rather offensive remarks that Trump has been making over the past 24 24-
offensive remarks. Stand by.
4 hours or so. Listen to this.
We can't stand you. You're a shit vice president. The worst. Yes. Palmer was all man. He took showers with the other pros. They came out of there. They said, oh, my God. When you look at Shifty Schiff and some of the others, they are, to me, the enemy from within. I think Nancy Pelosi is an enemy from within. Your boy leaves the school, comes back a girl. I have no cognitive. She may have a cognitive problem, but. There's no cognitive problem.
So, Alex, you know, millions of Americans...
Now he's talking to the reporter from Axios.
...are already voting early right now. Does Trump really believe this kind of stuff is going to work?
I, for one, am shocked that Donald Trump would make crass statements right before an election. It doesn't sound like him at all.
Oh, God. But I think he's being facetious, but no one laughs at the joke.
I, for one, am shocked that Donald Trump would make crass statements right before an election. It doesn't sound like him at all. I think the thing is... For a lot of his supporters, these remarks are a feature, not a bug. The fact that that he just says whatever is on his mind. You often hear when you talk to Trump supporters, you know, he talks like us or he talks for me. That being said, as they were also pointing out earlier, this election, one of the key groups is white women, especially white suburban women. You've seen Kamala Harris way outperform Joe Biden with that group. It is unclear that these remarks help with that key demographic.
Yeah, blah, 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 blah. Okay, final clip from my opening series here. We're going back to O'Donnell on MSNBC again. Nobody watches this, but this is
no,
all
they get more of this from you than they do from this network itself.
They're counting on us to help him win. They're counting on us to propagate their clips.
It has been 80 years since Adolf Hitler was a factor in an American presidential election. And now Hitler is back.
He's back.
With Donald Trump quoted praising Adolf Hitler, saying Adolf Hitler did some good things. Donald Trump has not said what those good things are. Donald Trump's response today to his former White House Chief of Staff, Marine Corps General John Kelly, quoting Donald Trump's praise of Hitler, was not to deny the words that John Kelly quoted Donald Trump saying. Donald Trump's response was a written statement simply calling John Kelly, quote, a total degenerate. Donald Trump did not issue a statement saying Hitler did not do some good things. Donald Trump could have issued a statement saying that, but he didn't.
Aha!
Donald Trump knows that he has the American Nazi supporters out there who are going to vote for him. Actual American Nazis. Small sliver of Trump voters, but he needs every one of them. Donald Trump knows that he needs every total degenerate American Nazi voter in every swing state to vote for him. And so Donald Trump cannot afford to lose a single one of them.
No.
And that's why he refused to condemn Hitler today and only condemned John Kelly.
So they throw up, they flash up a real quick post from Truth Social, you know, and just highlight in yellow, you know, that Kelly's no good. And here's the rub, though, and I haven't actually brought this up, but I've seen this study that has been going around for a week or two, and I think that this has been happening. Actually, Mo pointed out to me months ago. Study says 21% of Gen Z Americans think Adolf Hitler had some good ideas. So whatever is going on, they're not actually hurting Trump. They are helping him. I don't know if O'Donnell actually knows this, if he's
O'Donnell doesn't want to.
No, he's probably not read in.
But he's very sincere. I think he's totally sincere. I the rest of them, I think, are just being played or there's something up. I mean, they're
something.
This is like this kind of thing. I was going back and forth with one of our producers on email. This kind of thing has to be done very carefully if you're going to rig the election for you. If you want to throw the election to Trump, you have to do it's like a boxing match. You can't make it obvious that you're taking a fall.
Right.
Otherwise, you get beat up by the gangs who bet the other side. I mean, you can't do it. I mean, it's a corrupt situation. So they have to be really careful the way they're doing it. But I keep seeing it over and over and over again. I think it's true with the CBS reporting that where they put out the edited clip of Kamala's talking about, you know, some, you know, the Jews or somebody. And it was just different than the one that was aired. And then they didn't. And then when they were called out on it, They refused to say anything, which made it look worse when, in fact, this could have been a scheme to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And there's example after example after example of this, and you just brought a few in already, and there's more.
Listen to these headlines. Someone sent me a screenshot from Apple News Plus. Rolling Stone, Trump's closing pitch to voters, : I will let you die if you don't bow to my demands. Vanity Fair. Trump suggests Abraham Lincoln should have let the South keep a little bit of slavery.
Wow.
The Daily
Beast. Where did that one come from?
From Vanity Fair.
Where did they get that idea?
Who knows? The Daily Beast. Trump raged at slain soldier's funeral bill. $60,000 to bury an effing Mexican. Okay.
By the way, on that one, we should mention at least a little background on that. That particular story, that one in particular, was played as the top news story on CBS. I think it was yesterday.
Oh, I missed that one.
It was the deleted. They let it off that Trump's a big cheap tightwad and called the Mexican something or other. The mom the mother and the family came out and said, this is bull crap. Trump was great to them. He offered to pick up the tab.
Yes, I did see that. You're right. Yeah.
And this, the whole thing was contrived, and CBS is caught with their pants down.
Where were they talking about? Where was the refutement from the refutation from the family? Was that also on CBS or other stations?
No, they never got on CBS. CBS refused to even address it. And no, it was on social media. It was all over the place. And I think it was somebody's Fox or somebody talked to the woman. They had her on one of the shows. Probably Jesse's show.
Of course.
But they, she refuted it completely. And again, this makes it look, I think this was done on purpose to make CBS, look like a bunch of douchebags. I mean, they are douchebags at the moment, but it makes them look like them. There's something fishy about this whole thing, the way it's being rolled out.
Well, because stop saying fishy.
They're getting caught on every turn.
Only by us.
No.
No. Who else?
The social medias are catching them. It's all over the place.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's where everyone gets their information from. So it makes sense. I would be remiss if I didn't play Joy Reid's take on the upcoming rally at Madison Square Garden.
Let me take you back to 1939.
Here we go.
Madison Square Garden in the heart of New York City. But what you're seeing is no boxing match, hockey game, or even the circus. It's a Nazi rally, again, in New York City on February 20th, 1939, years into the Holocaust, and mere months before Adolf Hitler would invade Poland.
Hold on a second. 1939 was not years into the Holocaust. That didn't come until later.
Well, 40s. It could be argued that the Jews were being rounded up by 1939.
And was this not under a Democrat president at the time? Who was president?
Yeah, Roosevelt.
Oh, there you go. Whoa, he did it. He comes out with the first hello of the show.
This is not a competition.
Flint. The German-American Bund, a pro-Nazi organization, held this rally at the Garden to celebrate the rise of Nazism. It was advertised as a pro-American rally and featured a 30-foot-tall portrait of George Washington, but flanked by swastikas. Nazi salutes were raised by the crowd.
Sieg Heil.
There was also violence at this rally between police officers and those inside and outside who protested the gathering. That's a feature of Trumpism, too. Let's look at this.
Bring it home. If you see somebody getting ready to throw a tomato, knock the crap out of them, would you? Seriously. Okay? Just knock the hell. I promise you, perfect. I will pay for the legal fees. I promise.
Oh, get out of here. Get out of here.
This is from 2016.
Oh, yeah. Look at these people.
Get out of here. Get out. 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 Back home to mommy. 2016. Back home to mommy. Was that you, darling? And then she gets the hell knocked out of her.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, she's.
Oh, so they had to dredge up stuff from what?
Yeah. 2020.
8 years ago or so.
Yeah. Okay. It's fantastic. It's just there's great.
I want to point something out to early on in the show, which is something I don't have clips on this, but I picked it up. And then so I contacted my
source.
One of my buddies who's a Spanish speaking guy. Who's fluent? Is he Spanish?
Your Spanish speaking guy. Does he do your garden? Well,
I just keep his name out of it because he's a Berkeley liberal.
Oh. And he takes your call.
And it's, I picked it up on, it was either, it was one of the shows on Fox where they had these two Mexican guys, or Mexican American guys, but Mexicans. Talking about the movement toward Latinos to Trump.
Mm.
And it was the second time I heard it because I heard it at that meeting that Trump had in Florida of all these, Spanish speakers.
Oh, were they all prayed over Trump? What an outrage.
Yes, that one.
Yeah.
The guy says, instead of saying Kamala, Kamala, I was wondering why there's a big stink over Kamala versus Kamala. Mm. And there was a to the point where you can't say Kamala, that's racist or something, yes, for some unknown reason.
Yes, you're saying her name wrong on purpose. So you're
even
being
though
racist.
It, she said it that way herself, but they've expunged all that information. So I heard these two different guys say Kamala.
Kamala?
And then he said Kamala, a Kamala.
Oh, he corrected himself.
That's what it sounded like, didn't it? Mm-hmm. That's exactly what I thought the first time I heard it. The first time, the second time when I heard Kamala, he said Kamala, Kamala. Kamala is Spanish for is bad, was bad, is bad. It's malo. It means bad.
Oh, Kamala, Kamala.
Kamala and Kamalo, which is bad, yeah, which is the masculine version, but it's Kamala. And so they specifically said Kamala. So they don't want you saying Kamala because it sounds like Kamala.
Oh.
And these guys were saying it, and the white host, the gringos, they were missing the point left and right. So you look out for this. This is going on.
Oh,
so I talked
great.
To him about this. I talked to him, but he also mentioned to me that if you pronounce it a certain way, Kamala also is Spanish for burn her. But I think, but it's the mainly.
Oh,
it's the bad. She, you know.
Oh man.
Who bad? What bad? You know, she's bad. Whatever. You know, the overall thing.
How bad? How bad?
How bad is what it technically is.
Yes. How bad?
So how bad? How bad? How bad? Which is what they don't want you thinking. And so as I was talking to him, and I said, you know, these Latinos for Trump, he says, he makes the comment, he says, it's, and he's in Berkeley, he says, yeah, it's really something. Meaning, telling me that this Mexican turnout, this you know, this Latino turnout, Chicano, whatever you want to call them at this point.
Chicanos.
Chicanos.
It's hello, going 1950. To
be, yeah, hello. Vato. It's going to be massive. This, I think they're undercounting to an extreme. Everybody that's got any common sense is going to vote for Trump.
Have you seen the same thing we're seeing here in Texas, which is lines for early voting?
We don't have early voting.
Oh, really?
No, you vote on the day or you send a ballot in and drop it in a box.
Oh, well, yeah, you guys have that advantage, yeah. I have never seen it like this. There are people sitting in their car. They have to wait in their car before they can even get in line.
Wait till the next day. What's the rush?
No, people are very excited to vote. It's the most important election of our lifetime.
They were showing some of these early voting lines in Georgia, and the line was down. It was like, it looked like Star Wars movie, you know, was playing. It went around the block. It was, I'm thinking, why don't you wait till the next day? Why are people standing in line like this? It's beyond me.
Well, they're all jacked up. They're excited. They want to get their vote in before the grid goes down.
That's got to be part of it.
I have another complaint, which we should have picked up a long time ago when we were talking about the debates, about how these are not debates. They're just not debates. It's like I ask you a question, you respond, then the other guy or gal can say something for 30 seconds, and then we shut off your mic.
Yeah, it's not a debate.
It's not a debate, just as these are not town halls. This is an interview on the stage with pre-selected questions.
Well, I have
candidates.
The Shriver clip describing Shriver. This.
Oh, what do you have?
It's just this one clip where she's at this one town hall. I forgot which one. It's the one before the CNN one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a woman in the audience. I had to jack up the sound when the woman in the audience, you hear it. You still barely understand her. Shriver comes out and talks about how this is a big town hall and blah, blah, blah. And then says these questions are, no, you can't ask any questions. Listen to this.
I have a few questions. As I said, I went around to meet several of you and I heard some questions that some of you had. But universally, many of you said the reason I'm here is to see bipartisanship. I want to see what it looks like so I can go home with information. So you're going to get that. Okay, so let's get going. So So sit back, be comfortable. You're not, unfortunately. We have some predetermined questions, and hopefully I'll be able to ask some of the questions that might be in your head. I hope so.
Then she's going to be a mind reader.
These are not town halls. Let's just stop. This is, and we don't stop frequently enough to think about these things. It's made for television event. I have the quick package, and I know you have a lot of stuff you want to play, but we can come back to this later because I did get a few short clips from the CNN town hall.
At a town hall event outside Philadelphia.
Oh, by the way, this is the France 24 AI voice again. The guy, this voice is taking over the whole channel.
At a town hall event outside Philadelphia, Kamala Harris honed her message to undecided voters. She reiterated that Donald Trump is unstable, unfit to serve, and a threat to the nation's core principles. She also pointed repeatedly to former senior military figures from Trump's administration who have called him a fascist and claimed he spoke enviously of Adolf Hitler's Nazi generals.
Do you think Donald Trump is a fascist?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. And I also believe that the people who know him best on this subject should be trusted.
With less than 2 weeks left before the presidential election, both Harris and Trump are trying to attract voters that can tip the balance in the extremely close contest. But rather than focusing on policy differences with each other, the two candidates have preferred to cast aspersions. In Georgia, another swing state, Trump called Harris crazy, the worst ever, loony, and a low IQ individual.
It's great when an AI voice reads this.
This election
loony.
Is
loony.
A choice between whether we will have.
So this report says, oh, they were just casting aspersions, had nothing to do with their policies. And then this is all Trump did, called a loony, crazy. And they play a clip where he does none of that.
In Georgia, another swing state, Trump called Harris crazy, the worst ever, loony, and a low IQ individual.
This election is a choice between whether we will have 4 more years of incompetence, failure, and disaster, or whether we will begin the 4 greatest years in the history of our country.
How is that casting aspersions?
This is very odd.
It's a setup, man. It's a setup. Get ready to pull the rug on the economy, Fed, whoever runs it. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready.
Not
for a little bit, but you know, once he gets in and then
we'll, they don't have the economy that takes care of itself. It pulls the rug out from under itself. Well, gets too heated up and has to cool down.
All right. Simple. It was what it is. It happens. And it's about that time again.
A couple of years. We got it to 2026 at least.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. So the grid will stay working for another couple of years?
I don't know about the grid.
food will be on the shelves and we'll be able to live in harmony. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm glad you got that clip with her going on and on about being a fascist. Because I saw the clip. I said, I bet you Adam grabs this. Betting money that you're going to get that clip.
Well, yeah.
Because I didn't take any clips from that CNN thing. That thing was a disaster. Cooper was crappy. He's no good. The other one that has Shriver on it was like, it's, of course, somebody pointed out that both Shriver and Kamala had husbands who were after the hired help.
Well, do you want a few quick clips from the Pooper thing?
Yes, I just want to also mention that Liz Cheney, of course, was sitting at the table with Kamala during this thing. And you think, what is going on? And even John Stewart, I have a clip of him talking to Walls, because Walls is full of crap, too. Stewart is beside himself with this Cheney situation. He just can't. It's just like, you know, he's a lefty. He's still, I mean, the material's funny. It's just anti-Trump stuff, but it's funny.
You want to play that first? Structured. You want to play that first?
The Walls clips?
Yeah.
Walls clips, once I have it with Stewart and Walls, is not about being.
All right.
It's about Cheney. It's about Walls lying about something. And Stewart, instead of just pushing back immediately, he has to soft pedal it. I just thought it was so wimpy the way he did it. That's a different. We'll get all to right. it.
Well, I have a couple of. The first one is a little longer because it took her a long time to not answer the question, and Pooper kept hammering her about the border wall. And even his question was, wow, that's different.
Is a border wall stupid?
I mean, that's a great question. Is a border wall stupid?
Well, let's talk about Donald Trump and that border wall. So remember, Donald Trump said Mexico would pay for it? Come on, they didn't. How much of that wall did he build? I think the last number I saw is about 2%. And then when it came for time for him to do a photo op, you know where he did it? In the part of the wall that President Obama built.
But you're agreeing to a bill that would earmark $650 million to continue building that wall.
I pledge that I am going to bring forward that bipartisan bill to further strengthen and secure our border. And I'm going to work across the aisle to pass a comprehensive bill.
And Pooper's not going to let this go, by the way.
That deals with a broken immigration system. I think Jackson's question, part of it was to acknowledge that America has always had migration, but there needs to be a legal process for it.
What?
Wow.
People need to earn it. And that's the point that I think is the most important point that can be made, which is we need a president who is grounded in common sense and practical outcomes. Like, let's just fix this thing. Let's just fix it. Why is there any ideological perspective on this? Let's just fix the problem.
To fix the problem, you're doing this compromise bill. It does call for $650 million that was earmarked under Trump to actually still go to build the wall.
I'm not afraid of good ideas where they occur.
You don't think it's stupid anymore?
I think what he did and how he did it did not make much sense, because he actually didn't do much of anything. I just talked about that wall, right? We just talked about it. He didn't actually do much of anything.
But you do want to build some wall.
I want to strengthen our border.
Okay. Well, she did a good avoidance, but Pooper was pushing through. Pushing hard. Now come the shorter clips. This is the obvious one about, hey, you know, you've kind of been in the White House. How come you haven't fixed any of these problems?
Some voters, though, might ask, you've been in the White House for 4 years. You were vice president, not the president. But why wasn't any of that done for the last 4 years?
Well, there was a lot that was done, but there's more to do, Anderson. And I'm pointing out things that need to be done. That haven't been done, but need to be done.
Yeah. That's great. That's fantastic. Now, this short clip fits in with Walz calling himself a knucklehead. And this is about policy.
So I may not be quick to have the answer as soon as you ask it about a specific policy issue sometimes, because I'm going to want to research it. I'm going to want to study it. I'm kind of a nerd sometimes, I confess.
So I think we can just call them nerd and knucklehead. They're putting themselves down. Nerd and knucklehead.
Show title.
Yeah, they're putting themselves down, which is not what you typically do in a
No, it's a bad campaign. Idea. This is like simple marketing.
Yeah. All right. Now over to Roe v. Wade.
Let me ask you, you've talked about codifying Roe v. Wade. That would obviously require 60 votes in the Senate, a majority of the House. That's a big leap. We don't have that yet. If that's not possible to codify it in the House, what do you do?
I think we need to take a look at the filibuster, to be honest with you.
Okay, so you can't get your poor policies passed. But by the way, Roe v. Wade was not a law. It was a Supreme Court decision. It wasn't a law.
That's right.
So, you know, someone brought this up to me, and I have the final clip of this, that, let me see, where is it here? There is a law. Oh, now I don't know where if I can find it. There is a law. I think it's I'm failing on this. I think I may have to just move on. I can't. Oh, yes. The Unborn Victims of Violence Act in 2004. And this is interesting in light of abortion. Whomever harms or kills a child in utero during the commission of a crime with knowledge or recklessness regarding the pregnancy shall, if the crime is murder, be punished as for murder of two persons. And if the crime is manslaughter, be punished as manslaughter of two persons. So it's kind of interesting that it's not a person when you want to abort it, but if there's a crime that a secondary crime, then all of a sudden it's a person.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I think that was not a law. In 2004, I think it was codified, but I think before that it was always accepted principle.
Oh, principle. Yeah. But now it's a law. Anyway, here's Dana Bash wrapping up the Harrison Pooper town hall.
Well, I'll just tell you what I'm hearing from people who I've been talking to. And that is that if her goal was to close the deal, they're not sure she did that.
What?
And, you know, some people have asked, is she being held to a different standard? Maybe. But that's maybe the world that she's living in.
Okay. So she did not close the deal, according to Dana Bash on CNN.
There's a deal?
Well, close the deal. You know,
what was the deal?
To get everyone to say, oh, you're the best. I'm voting for you. By the way, thank you to the multiple producers who heard the call. And found the original audio of your Is Kamala Drunk? And we didn't know for sure. And was not easy to find this. You remember this from the last episode?
I do.
It was your clip. And here's the clip. You said, is she drunk here or high or what is going on?
Never let anyone take your joy from you. I call myself a joyful warrior. Right? Never let anyone take your joy from you. You do what you gotta do. And isn't that a wonderful way to live? To know you have purpose.
And here is the original.
Never let anyone take your joy from you. I call myself a joyful warrior. Right? Never let anyone take your joy from you.
Now, she may be high, but...
You do what you gotta do.
Yeah, it was slowed down. That's all they used to do that with George Bush.
Yeah.
You slow it down. You don't have to slow it down much.
But when you hear the original, it's very obvious. But sometimes it's hard to hear. You know, we had questions. We weren't sure. I mean, I said it sounds slowed down, but I didn't really know for sure.
Well, you never said slowed down. You just said you thought it was doctored.
I said it was slowed down. Literally said it was slowed down.
You literally said that?
Yep.
I will go back and check.
Why do you doubt me? Why do you doubt me?
Because you've been doing this more than usual.
Okay, I will.
You're imagining things. You're okay. Dreaming them.
All right, here we go.
It's like the wife who wakes up and chews you out for something you did in her dream. That's the impression I'm getting.
Someone go to Bingit.io and pull the clip, please. All right. Now.
Okay, so let's go to the only one I really paid attention to was Hallie Jackson's. Sit down with Kamala.
I did not see this. Now, this is NBC Meet the Press, no? No.
No, no, no.
No, Hallie Jackson.
This was...
Who was she with?
This is a special. This was a special.
A special?
Yeah.
Oh, a special.
And I don't even know where
it ran. What is Hallie Jackson on? What
NBC. She's MSNBC.
Oh, okay.
She's not an MSNBC stooge. She's an MSNBC reporter. Mm-hmm. So she's... But she's a stooge in this. And so I got a bunch of clips here. We got, we'll start with, I'm trying to think what's the best order to go with these. Let's start with her. She asks her about the trans.
The trans. Did she say, Kamala, tell me about the trans?
No, but it's about the trans. Okay.
That Donald Trump is running tens of millions of dollars in ads to talk about two cases, to distract from the fact that his policy and plan is also to take away the Affordable Care Act, which provides health care for tens of millions of people in our country, that his plan is to undo the $35 a month cap on insulin.
Where
did he say, is this trans, by the way?
The question was, I'm just giving the answer. I didn't play the whole thing. I'll say the question is, what do you feel about Trump's about trans, and mm-hmm. she goes on about how it's, you know, follow the law, and she says, well, what about,
she's doing the weave.
Yeah, but she never weaves back. She just weaves off.
Hallie Jackson, by the way, is the senior Washington correspondent for NBC News.
Yes, she's a news person. She's a reporter. She's
not a show person. Okay.
And is to undo the $35 a month cap on insulin that impacts millions of seniors in our country. That his plan is to do away with the $2,000 cap on prescription medication, the annual cap.
Is there any place that he said that, or I can't recall this.
That his plan is to get rid of the Department of Education, which would mean getting rid of Head Start. That his plan is to give tax cuts to billionaires and big corporations and on the backs of middle class working people. So let's not get distracted by the issues that, to your point from the introductory point you raised, people want to know that their president has a plan to make their life better. And that includes bringing down the cost of living. It includes dealing with prescription medication costs. It includes addressing the housing crisis and affordable housing crisis in our country. It includes supporting our small businesses, investing in American industries, and strengthening our economy.
I will move on, but I don't know that I heard a clear answer from you on the issue of gender affirming care. It sounds like what you're saying is this should be something between trans Americans and their doctors. It feels like that's a long way from we see you and we love you, which was your message to trans Americans in May. What do you want the LGBTQ plus community to know as they're looking for a full-throated backing from you for trans Americans?
I believe that all people should be treated with dignity and respect, period, and should not be vilified for who they are, and should not be bullied for who they are. And that is a true statement for me my entire career, and that has not changed.
Ugh. It's pathetic.
By the way, I was hallucinating. I was wrong. Mea culpa. I messed up. I was in error. I was completely out of line and just plain wrong.
Drunk or not drunk.
Yeah, I think that's doctored. There you go. You were right.
It's funny. At my age, my memory is so on the money there. Huh.
I would never say that you have bad memory because of your age. I would never say that. That's on you. I never say that. Because then I would say, hey, you old coot, you can't remember. But I see I didn't say that.
Yeah, well, you're not going to catch me because curiously, I nailed the exact comment you made, which was doctor.
You nailed it. You nailed
it. You never said slowed it down.
No, I was hallucinating. And I probably, when I was running the two clips, I thought, oh yeah, I was right, and I was just wrong. So I'm so sorry that if I offended you.
The apology is accepted.
Okay, onward.
We're going back to Kamala Jackson, the interview. We're going to go to Ramble with Lies, and this is where she just starts rambling, and she's literally, she lied in the last clip too about what Trump's going to do about this and that.
At least as far as we know.
Lies and lies.
Yeah, we don't know. I have not heard what she claimed.
We can just assume it's a lie because she lies here with stuff we know is a lie, and Holly does not push back on her.
If you win, it is entirely possible that the federal court cases against the former president will continue on. He is, of course, facing those felony charges. Would you consider, if you win and he's convicted, a pardon for former President Trump?
I'm not going to get into those hypotheticals. I'm focused on the next 14 days.
But do you believe, is there any part of you that subscribes to the argument that has been made in the past that a pardon could help bring America together, could help unify the country and move on?
Let me tell you what's going to help us move on. I get elected president of the United States.
Wow. Okay.
So that was Ramble with Lies?
Oh, I'm sorry. That might have been Ramble 2. I'm sorry. Here's Ramble with Lies.
A president who respects their duty to uphold the Constitution of the United States. Donald Trump has said he would terminate the Constitution of the United States. The American people are being presented.
No, when was this?
By the way,
when did Trump say he's going to terminate the Constitution? And where is Holly here? This is the reason I wanted this clip played. Where is Holly pushing back on that? Where's the fact check? Fact check. She's a fact checker. She's a fact reporter.
Well, it's Madam Vice President is speaking. But you know what happened there? Because you have your clips labeled 3, 4, 5, and I saw 2, and I thought that was clip 2. So that's how that happened. Let's go back and continue with the lies.
States, Donald Trump has said he would terminate the Constitution of the United States. The American people are being presented with a choice here about whether we want a president who understands that America must stand strong as a leader around the globe, or an individual in Donald Trump who openly admires dictators. My goodness, recent reports that he gave COVID tests to the president of Russia during the height of the pandemic here, when Americans couldn't get their hands on COVID tests. These are the choices before the American people right now. The choice before the American people.
Hey, just thinking back, was there ever really a moment when we couldn't get our hands on COVID tests? Do you recall
this? Once those tests came out, they were throwing them at you.
You got 4 for 4 for free, and they were sending them mail.
I have about 50 of them.
Yeah, I mean,
I should send them to Putin.
I'm trying to think, was there ever a moment when there was a
shortage of tests, there's free test kits. No,
I can't.
And he wasn't talking about test kits. It was the machines they were talking about that her staff still hasn't straightened her out on.
Is the choice to choose to turn the page on the division and the hate, and to bring our country together, knowing the vast majority of us have so much more in common than what separates us, and that we can be optimistic about a new generation of leadership that is focused on what we have yet to achieve, to uplifting the American people.
So that's when it goes to the next clip, which you can just play the beginning of, because right there, right at that point where Halliburton comes in, she should have said, well, he never said he's going to terminate the Constitution. Where did that come from? And it's like, you know, she could have pushed back on any of it, but no, what she does is she asks her about the pardon.
If you win, it is entirely possible that
you can stop it there. What? She changed the topic? She didn't push back on any of the bull crap? This is really the kind of reporting that we're getting. It's just, it's deplorable. I know.
I'm always surprised that you're so surprised that this is the reporting we're getting.
I'm overacting.
Well, no, I think you really are upset by it. You are very disappointed.
Now I'm looking at these clips. Mm-hmm. Where's 3?
Well, that's why I was a little confused myself.
Maybe okay. Well, there obviously I mislabeled.
I think Ramble 2 is 3.
That could be.
Yeah.
Whatever the case, we're going to move to 4. And this is another question she doesn't answer, but this has been coming up in the conversation a lot on the Fox people keep saying that when, actually the question, we'll talk about this after we play this clip.
One of the things you've talked about is having a Republican in your cabinet, potentially. Yes. You've spent a lot of time on the campaign trail with former Congresswoman Liz Cheney, as mm-hmm. you referenced. Mm-hmm. Is she somebody who you would consider putting in the cabinet? Have you talked with her about this topic? I'll keep you posted. Okay.
I'll keep you posted. Keep you posted.
So Liz Cheney, the talk is that if Kamala gets elected.
Secretary of State.
No, I understand it was going to be Secretary of Defense.
Of course. What am I thinking? Of course.
What are you thinking?
Oh, I caught myself. Doesn't count.
You did. You said it. I don't care.
I said hell. I'm going to hell. That's what I said. I'm not going anywhere.
I thought that was, I found that quite amusing. So here we go with 5.
You have made it clear that you believe this is a binary choice between you and Donald Trump. Those are the candidates on the ballot.
There's only
2 choices.
Yes.
And I know that Joe Biden is not on the ballot. I understand that. Mm-hmm. But the reason that you are at the top of the ticket is because he dropped out of this race. And so I want to ask you, and it was largely because of that.
Stop the clip for a second. This is the seminal clip. They played. This is at the end of the interview. I think this is a destructive question and answer because Kamala just looks like a moron answering this question the way she does. And then she gets arrogant and, dare I say, uppity.
Uh-oh. Wait a minute. You know, even if you call her lazy, that's racist. Now you're calling her uppity?
Well, you tell me.
All right.
And so I want to ask you, and it was largely because of that debate performance back in June. You defended him in the days before and in the days after as you were campaigning for another 4 years for President Biden. Can you say that you were honest with the American people about what you saw in those moments with President Biden as you were with him again and again, repeatedly in that time?
Of course. Joe Biden is an extremely accomplished, experienced, and capable in every way that anyone would want if they're president.
And you never saw anything like what happened at the debate night behind closed doors with him?
It was a bad debate. People have bad debates.
He
is absolutely.
But that's the reason why you're here, and he's not running for the top of the ticket.
Well, you'd have to ask him if that's the only reason why.
What do you think?
I'm running for president of the United States. Joe Biden is not.
I think it's okay to say uppity Indian. That may be okay.
Yeah, well.
Uppity Indian.
Since we don't really care the way we do the show.
We don't really care.
We don't care.
Oh, I just got a call from the advertisers that canceling the buy.
Yeah, yeah. That's the so we don't care.
No, we don't care. Yes, we can.
So this is the final clip of this group, and this is where she wraps it up. It's 20 minutes or so. And I guess that's what all she wanted to give her. And so she, I guess they had the same people in the on the floor there waving their arms at Time's Up that they did with Bret Baier.
Yeah.
And so time is up, and here we go.
I am running for president of the United States. Joe Biden is not. And my presidency will be about bringing a new generation of leadership to America that is focused on the work that we need to do to invest in the ambitions and aspirations of the American people.
It's a judgment question. That's why I ask. Can the American people trust you in these moments, even when it's maybe uncomfortable for Americans to level with Americans in that way? So that's why I ask. And it sounds like what you're saying is you feel like you never saw anything like that from President Biden.
I have worked with Joe Biden, whether hours and hours and hours over these 4 years, whether it be in the Situation Room or the Oval Office. Joe Biden is the one who was able to bring NATO together during a crisis where for the first time in 70 years, Europe saw and has seen war. Joe Biden has done the work that has been about being a leader on what we have done to fix so much of what has been broken in terms of the economy because of Donald Trump's mismanagement. I speak with not only sincerity, but with a real firsthand account of watching him do this work. I have no reluctance in saying that. No, of course I don't.
Madam Vice President, thank you for your time. I appreciate you being with us.
Okay. And her voice is starting to grate on me. But I would like to play, if you want to hear some lies, the lies. Now this was just brazen. This was her final statement. Every news organization used clips from it. And she did this outside of the Naval Academy, which is her vice presidential abode. Now, it's...
No, she lives... It was the Coast Guard thing.
Coast Guard. I'm sorry. Is it Coast Guard or Naval? That was the Naval Academy.
Oh, it's the observatory. Maybe it's the Naval Observatory.
Observatory. There you go.
Yeah.
Now, is she when she does that, is she
Which
speaking?
Is nowhere... Not the Academy. The Academy's in Annapolis, Maryland. Yeah.
So she had the two flags, you know, behind her. She's on the steps. Now, you can campaign because that's basically a vice presidential setting. And there's no Hatch Act or anything. You can do all that. That's not a problem.
I don't know.
Because everyone else is like, well, I'm in my capacity as a person. I'm shitting for Kamala. I'm not the Secretary of Energy or Secretary of Transportation. So, and it doesn't matter. But let's just call out every single piece of dis or misinformation, also known as lies. In this clip, this was very fine people to the extreme.
So yesterday we learned that Donald Trump's former chief of staff, John Kelly, a retired four-star general, confirmed that while Donald Trump was president, he said he wanted generals like Adolf Hitler had.
I don't think he said that. I think he might have said, at best, John Kelly said, He admired them. He didn't say he wanted generals like that. So I think that's a lie.
Donald Trump said that. Yes. Because he does not want a military that is loyal to the United States Constitution.
I don't think he said that.
He wants a military that is loyal to him.
Uh-huh.
He wants a military who will be loyal to him personally.
Yeah, I don't think he said that.
One that will obey
his
orders, even when he tells them to break the law or abandon their oath to the Constitution of the United States.
This is some kind of extrapolation that I would call a lie.
In just the past week, Donald Trump has repeatedly called his fellow Americans the enemy from within.
Okay, I'll give you, he's called some of his fellow Americans, namely you, Nancy Pelosi, and others. Yeah, so it's a half lie.
And even said that he would use the United States military to go after American citizens. And let's be clear about who he considers.
Now we talked about what he said. And what he said was that the current administration, not him, the current administration should use the National Guard or, if necessary, the military if there was rioting and nonsense going on Election Day. That's what he actually said, correct?
I think so. I don't remember exactly.
I'm pretty sure that's exactly what he said. It was at the Maria Bartiromo interview. And here we go.
To be the enemy from within. Anyone who refuses to bend a knee or dares to criticize him would qualify in his mind as the enemy within.
Bend a knee!
Like judges. Like journalists. Like nonpartisan election officials. It is deeply troubling.
I don't think he said any of that.
And incredibly dangerous that Donald Trump would invoke Adolf Hitler, the man who is responsible.
She says that he would awaken him from the dead.
Incredibly dangerous that Donald Trump would invoke Adolf Hitler, the man who is responsible for the deaths of 6 million Jews.
Might be alive.
And hundreds of thousands of Americans. All of this is further evidence for the American people of who Donald Trump really is. This is a window into who Donald Trump really is. From the people who know him best, from the people who worked with him side by side in the Oval Office and in the Situation Room. And it is clear from John Kelly's words that Donald Trump is someone who, I quote, certainly falls into the general definition of fascist. Who in fact vowed to be a dictator on day one and vowed to use the military as his...
For one day only.
Certainly falls into the general definition of fascists. Who in fact vowed to be a dictator on day one and vowed to use the military as his personal militia.
No!
To what? Carry out
personal militia. This is so good.
Personal militia to carry out his personal and political vendettas. Donald Trump is increasingly unhinged and unstable.
Unhinged.
And in a second term, people like John Kelly would not be there to be the guardrails against his propensities and his actions. Those who once tried to stop him from pursuing his worst impulses would no longer be there.
Yeah.
And no longer be there to rein him in. So the bottom line is this. We know what Donald Trump wants. He wants unchecked power. The question in 13 days will be, what do the American people want?
Probably want that, unchecked power. I'm just guessing people go, yeah, give him unchecked power. Let's see if it's
so fine. I'd like to know what the deal is with John Kelly, who looks like a prick, if you ask me.
Well, I have a few clips on the deal with John Kelly. If you'd
well,
like
do you
to
want
know.
Me to play my Walls clips first?
Yes.
Which is your
yes.
talk, since yes. the theme currently is lies.
Yes. Let's go to the Walls lies.
So here we go. This is John Stewart. This is last Monday. Tim Walls is the guest, and here's what he says.
In small towns, these are not hateful people, but they're wondering, where did their manufacturing jobs go? Well, Donald Trump shipped them overseas, tariffs and things like that.
What?
We need to make sure we're making the case that, look, Here's how this is going to specifically impact you.
Right.
We hear you about this.
Okay. Trump shipped them off over there. That was his entire 2016 policy, was bringing them back.
Okay. Yes. And so Trump somehow shipped them overseas. Now, Stewart is, he's political, so he knows this is bull crap, but he doesn't know what to do about it. So he's thinking to himself, well, how am I going to push back on this? Because I'm going to get burned if I let this stand. So he does a kind of a wimpy workaround instead of saying, no, Trump didn't ship everything overseas, and that's why everyone's upset because Trump shipped the jobs overseas. That was just the opposite of what he promotes. So Stewart worms his way out of it, but I thought it was pretty low lifestyle of doing it. He wouldn't be confrontational at all.
But I would think the Democrats are the ones, when you talk about shipping things overseas, you know, you would say NAFTA or free trade were the things that really hollowed out the manufacturing base. Now, investment in infrastructure and all that has brought a lot of it back. Yes. But that is kind of an albatross around Democrats' necks, which is our trade policies kind of helped this globalization occur.
It's a fair argument, but I also think too that COVID rechanged that, the breaking of the chain, you know, the supply chains. And look, we can have fair trade. We produce more soybeans in Minnesota than we're going to eat. We need to have markets for them, but it needs to be fair, making sure the jobs are here.
I'm going
to
use that in any argument. Hey, look, soybeans, okay? Just look, soybeans.
So, unfortunately, you're joking around at the end, but he makes this, he says soybean. He brings it out of the blue. I don't know what's got to do with jobs going overseas. He says we have soybeans to sell, and we want to make sure the Americans are making this. Play that little
I'm
end
sorry,
again.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
No, that's okay. I don't blame you because I do it all the time. But he just changes the subject, calls up supply chain and COVID, and then he throws soybeans in, and he says we got to make sure these are American jobs as opposed to who's what.
Our trade policies kind of helped this globalization occur.
It's a fair argument, but I also think too that COVID rechanged that, the breaking of the chain, you know, the supply chains. And look, we can have fair trade. We produce more soybeans in Minnesota than we're going to eat. We need to have markets for them, but it needs to be fair, making sure the jobs are here.
Making sure the jobs are here. If we're making the soybeans here, the jobs are going to be here. What is he saying?
Look, is what he's saying.
Stewart was flummoxed by the whole thing because he knew he couldn't.
No,
he couldn't really say the guy was full of shit.
Yeah, well, he's the knucklehead, the nerd and the knucklehead. Now let's go to
Elitist Voices of America. This is NPR.
Our national treasure.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about the hundreds, I think it's literal hundreds. Let me see. Yes. Hundreds of threats Trump has made to punish his perceived opponents. This is your national treasure.
We know former President Trump has talked about, quote, locking people up for a long time. What's new about what you found here?
We looked at rally speeches, interviews, social media posts just since 2022 when he was preparing for this campaign. And that's how we found more than 100 examples.
More than 100 examples. Who exactly is he targeting?
Well, at the top of the list are his political opponents. He says if he wins on day one, he will appoint a special prosecutor to investigate President Joe Biden and Biden's family. He says Vice President Kamala Harris should be prosecuted. He's reposted calls for former President Barack Obama, former Congresswoman Liz Cheney to face military tribunals. And then he's also pushed for prosecutions and arrests of people involved in the criminal and civil cases against them, prosecutors, judges, even a courthouse staffer. And in one case, he floated the idea of prosecuting a member of the Georgia grand jury that indicted him for election interference.
You know, he's probably said all of that. He's probably said,
The funny thing is, he said, I think so too. On it, you know, just casually saying one thing or another.
Well, he'll say that person should be prosecuted. I don't think he said, I'm going to, when I'm president, I'm going. I don't think it's that dumb.
I think you're right there too. But what's interesting to me is something we played, I don't know, 3 or 4 months ago. It was a clip from not Mark Levin, but Michael Savage from his podcast where he goes on and says, I hope he does all that.
Mm.
I think there's a lot of Republicans with a grudge who actually this appeals
big time.
It appeals to them that he should go after Biden, that asshole, and they should go after Kamala. Yeah, do it. And all, and if all he's going to say is I'm going to put a special prosecutor out there, well, that's exactly what Biden did to him. Special prosecutor Jack Smith. What's the difference?
I think the real argument here is that the most of the 2016 campaign was built on lock her up, and he never did.
That's the point. You can always throw that back in their face. Yeah, okay, why so didn't they never locked her up? And they could have, the way she acted, throwing away confidential documents and all the rest, and putting on her own server and smashing phones,
the Blackberries, and
destroying evidence and all the rest.
Bleach bit.
Yeah, there you go. All right. A name from the past.
Second part here.
Okay, so this goes well beyond just politicians, including private citizens like this jury you just described, but also journalists. What is Trump saying?
Journalists.
Well, he said journalists who refuse to give up their sources should go to jail. He says CBS and NBC should be investigated and lose their broadcast licenses because he didn't like their news coverage. He's also attacked people who criticize or protest the Supreme Court. This is from a rally this September.
These people should be put in jail the way they talk about our judges and our justices trying to get them to sway their vote.
I mean, what you're describing, Tom, is pretty frightening. And all of this obviously raises the question, could former President Trump actually do this?
Well, there's been a norm that's generally accepted for decades that the White House does not direct investigations by the Justice Department. But it is not the law. And at the end of the day, the president does control the Justice Department. Of course, there are guardrails. Judges can refuse to sign warrants. They can dismiss charges. But investigations alone, legal experts told me, can be terrifying, cost a ton of money in legal bills. And there's this concern that the threat of a prosecution can make someone say, if opposing the president gets to be investigated, is it really worth the risk?
Well, hello, pot. Ah, I did it. Hello, pot, kettle, black. Yeah, I
did
it. I did it.
We're not counting these. I don't want our guy out there counting the hellos.
No. But this was hello, pot, kettle. It's a little different because it is hello.
Yeah, but you said it with the intonation.
I know.
Hello.
Okay, so now comes the coincidence. There's a couple coincidences taking place in the kingdom. On Thursday, we had a brief report about this because it was just happening, or it hadn't even happened during the show.
Okay, President Trump, so for our first order that's going out the window, we're going to need 3 medium fries. So would you like to add, put the medium fries in the bag?
I think so, yeah. So we'll do that.
I'm sorry, that's not really that's not the report I wanted to play. I'm sorry.
What's that?
Yeah, that's Trump at the fry station at McDonald's. Here we go.
Oh.
Where is... interesting. I thought I had an actual clip of him. Anyway, so Trump was at McDonald's. Man, I'm sure I had a full report of that.
You probably do.
Yeah, I don't know where it is. So he was, So he was at McDonald's, and it was a good move. It was funny, first of all, because of Kamala, Kamala. And, he put on the apron. He kind of really did look like Ronald McDonald with the red tie and everything. It was amazing to see. And then he's serving people at the drive-through window. And, there were lots of posts from people on video saying, hey, I'm one of the 4 million people who works at fast food. And I like that my president doesn't mind putting on the apron. So in general, I'd say it was pretty good.
I think it was a huge win, and I don't think they expected it to be.
And then all of a sudden,
tonight, the CDC is warning of a deadly E. coli outbreak linked to the McDonald's quarter pounder. At least 49 people in 10 states have gotten sick between September 27th and October 11th. 10 had to be hospitalized, including a child with severe kidney complications.
Now, what is interesting,
it's kind
here,
of like old news.
Yes.
This is the kind of thing that's like the Kelly thing.
Yes.
He comes out, 8 years later and makes these comments?
Yes. And October 11th was well before Trump did his McDonald's thing. But the coincidence of this report,
all of a sudden, coincidence, I think not.
And it's only quarter pounders? Hmm? OK, Okay.
Colorado then, reporting the most cases with 27 and one death.
It's Colorado, the bluest state in the union. Hey, we better start making a big deal out of this.
Reportedly an older person.
Hey, McDonald's, we'll teach you.
Reportedly.
E. coli is a bacteria that can cause serious illness, including fever, stomach cramps, and in severe cases, can be deadly. All of the people who got sick reported eating at McDonald's beforehand. Most reporting they ate a quarter pounder hamburger.
Most reporting. So someone might have had nuggets. I mean, this is so flimsy. And it's not the FDA who comes in, but the CDC. Are they in charge of this?
McDonald's removing the sandwich from the menu in affected areas, saying in a statement, a subset of illnesses may be linked to slivered onions used in the quarter pounder and sourced by a single supplier that serves three distribution centers.
And where did the onions come from?
McDonald's is facing its first lawsuit stemming from the E. coli outbreak linked to its quarter pounders. The lawsuit was filed in Colorado, which is one of 10 states where the popular burgers have been taken off the menu temporarily. Sliced onions and quarter pounders have been identified as the possible culprit. Taylor Farms of California also recalling its onions, though it remains unclear if the company directly supplied the onions in question. Taylor Farms is known to be a supplier to the fast food chain.
So California onions, we think people got sick after they ate a quarter pounder in Colorado. McDonald's stock down 9 or 10%. Like, we'll show you.
Buying opportunity.
We'll show you. Yeah, I think it is too. We'll show you McDonald's. Big mistake there, McDonald's. Yeah, don't you be pandering to the Trump man, McDonald's. And
that's kind of the way, you could easily see it that way.
Oh, please. That to me is so obvious. The report is flimsy.
And it's old. It ended on October 11th. It was way before any of this took place.
Yes.
You know.
So now we have.
Thanks for warning us about E. coli a month ago.
CDC. At McDonald's, CDC, with your California onions, which they clearly don't put on the Big Mac, only on the quarter pounder. Now, the next issue, which we need to be yelling about because that gets us clips on X and it keeps the mainstream media relevant, is Elon Musk. Elon Musk. Oh, no.
Elon.
Oh, Elon.
Tonight, Kamala Harris's running mate, Governor Tim Walz, going after one of Donald Trump's most prominent backers in the 2024 race, the world's richest man, Elon Musk. He's been pouring an eye-popping amount of money to help elect the former president.
Now, I'm going to talk about his running mate. His running mate, Elon Musk. Look, Elon's on that stage. Look. Jumping around, skipping like a dipshit. That guy is literally the richest man in the world, spending millions of dollars to help Donald Trump buy an election.
Unlike the $1 billion that was sent to the Harris-Walz campaign to buy the election.
The Harris-Walz campaign has twice as much money.
Yeah.
Who's buying an election?
My source tonight is CNN's Joni O'Sullivan, who went to Elon Musk's town halls that he held over the weekend. He's been out on the campaign trail.
Those town halls were interesting. The one he did in, was it Delaware? He's standing in front of an American flag, which kind of makes him look like Patton.
Yeah, yes, it does.
You know what I mean?
Giant flag.
What I didn't like, the flag is out of proportion.
But it makes him look like not Patton, but... the actor because Patton.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, the actor from the movie. But also, that flag is not regulation size. It's square. The flag is a rectangle.
Oh, I didn't notice this.
Yeah, and that bothered me just a little bit.
Maybe I'm going to guess that Governor Walz does not like Elon Musk very much. But, Donnie, you know, on Elon being so involved in the campaign trail, obviously he supports Trump. He's been spending a ton of money on him, but he's now going as far to offer $1 million giveaways to people who are registering to vote. Republican officials, some of them, there's a group of about 11 that are asking the Justice Department to investigate him.
Are there Republicans investigating him over that? I didn't know.
Not that I know of.
For this, does it violate campaign finance laws or federal election law? What's your sense of whether or not that deters him at all, or how he's feeling about this?
Yeah, it doesn't faze him one bit. I get the sense. I mean, we were there actually at his town hall in a church on Harrisburg, in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, on Saturday night, where he gave out that first $1 million check. America PAC, the PAC that Elon Musk is behind, they changed the wording slightly the day after the result, as there was a lot of talk of, you know, legal scrutiny of this. So rather than saying we are awarding this a winner $1 million, they are now hiring a spokesperson per day and paying them $1 million. So there's some sign of a change there. Clearly, maybe they see some legal loophole there. But aside from the $1 million, they're also paying people. They're paying people $47 in swing in battleground states to register or refer people to sign up to America PAC, this petition, and really just highlighting the value that's in Pennsylvania and how important they view Pennsylvania. $100 to Pennsylvania voters to sign this petition. And it's not just a petition, right? Because what you're doing is they're paying you $100 and they're getting all your data, your personal information, and seeing that you're a registered voter, and then can easily target you with advertising, whether it's online, offline, whatever else.
Which is priceless to a campaign.
Oh, it's priceless. How about people just, hey, give me $100, I'll vote for Trump? I mean, that's really what it is.
Well, yeah, but that is illegal.
Is it now?
Yeah, yeah, it is. It's
only
illegal
to do. Only if I have to prove it.
Well, you'd have to obviously.
No, you give the $100 and you say, "Hey, man, do your thing."
Hey, yeah. Here's $100. Yeah. Here's a hundo. It's a hundo.
I'm sorry, but I have to do this.
At the tone, a clip from The View will be played. Shelter in place.
People keep trying to buy the election. Billionaire Elon Musk has gone all in for you know who, and now he's giving out $1 million a day to people who sign his super PAC's petition.
What?
Now, I thought that was against the law, but apparently they've found some new loop stuff that allowed this to go. I thought you couldn't do this.
I didn't even hear that one. They found some new loop stuff.
What?
Now, I thought that was against the law, but apparently they've found some new loop stuff that allowed this to go. I thought you couldn't do this. What's happening?
Loop stuff.
Well, I think that's what you do when you have no plan for the public, when you have no economic plan that's going to benefit the middle class, when you have no plan to protect reproductive rights, when you have no plan to address climate change and produce American energy. You go to these type of tactics. It's all about
the strategy. There's a concept on the plan. Yeah.
Aren't these tactics against the law, though?
I'll let the lawyers decide, but it sure, look, I think.
Giving water away to voters and not against the law.
Isn't this the same thing?
They're signing a petition, so you're technically not buying the vote. Frankly, there's nothing that can stop people from signing the petition, getting the $1 million, and then voting for Kamala Harris and Tim Walz.
That's right. Woo!
Do that.
But make sure you're not putting yourself in a trick bag say, oh, by the way, you didn't read this little tiny print. Don't sign jack until you know what you're signing and how it's going to affect you.
Yeah.
That's a thing.
Hey,
there's an interesting thing, undercurrent going on here. And there's a lot of this stuff we have to kind of catch early, like the Kamala. Kamala. So she is in the trades. I've been picking up on a bunch of little hints about Whoopi.
Oh,
I believe ABC's getting ready to get rid of her.
If Trump wins, she'll have to go.
But I think they're getting ready to get rid of her, whether he wins or not. They're planting these stories. The main one was they've changed their set and they moved to a new location. And Whoopi, this, who cares? Whoopi is all upset about her dressing room. And so she's moved her personal offices nearby so she can have her own dressing room in her own offices. So they're painting her as some sort of a ridiculous diva.
Yes.
That has got to go. These stories are being planted, and they're very subtle, and they're here, and they're there, and they're here, and they're there. This is the kind of thing you've noticed, is that you've worked in the business.
Oh, yeah.
The setup You know, let's start with this and, you know, to see what kind of pushback we get. And if nobody says, oh, you have to keep Whoopi, and nobody does that, because who would?
Right.
She's out. She'll be gone within 6 months.
Hmm. Do you think she might be celebrity A or celebrity B?
I don't know.
This morning, a new civil lawsuit alleges Sean Diddy Combs sexually assaulted a then 13-year-old girl after the VMAs in the year 2000. Combs attended the award show with his then girlfriend, Jennifer Lopez. The lawsuit says Diddy's driver invited the alleged victim to an after party, telling her Combs liked younger girls and saying she fit what Diddy was looking for. At the party, the lawsuit says the teen accepted a drink and went to lie down, feeling woozy and lightheaded. Combs allegedly grabbed the teen, saying, "You are ready to party." The lawsuit says the teen was sexually assaulted by a male identified as Celebrity A, while Combs and a female identified as Celebrity B watched. Combs then allegedly assaulted her, while Celebrities A and B watched. The new civil lawsuits accuse Combs of sexual assaults over more than two decades, from 2000 to 2022. Alleged victims include a then 17-year-old male who says Combs molested him at a party in New York, and a man who says Combs assaulted him at a party in Los Angeles. The man says he took this photo of the vodka Combs served him to document the alleged encounter.
Yeah, Diddy's lawyer now trying to get the judge to place a gag order on everything and everybody, which would be interesting. And again, no coincidences in the kingdom.
Former Abercrombie & Fitch CEO Mike Jeffries arrested by federal authorities today, facing a slew of criminal charges. Prosecutors accusing him of running an international sex ring and prostitution business with his romantic partner Matt Smith and a third man, Jim Jacobson, from 2008 to 2015.
Powerful individuals for too long have trafficked and abused for their own sexual pleasure young people with few resources in a dream.
Federal prosecutors saying the trio paid dozens of men to travel around the world to engage in sex acts. The indictment saying many of the victims were coerced and led to believe participating would mean modeling opportunities with Abercrombie, and that not complying could harm their careers. According to the indictment, Jeffries and Smith relied on their vast financial resources, Jeffries' power, and a network of employees to run the secret business that was dedicated to fulfilling their sexual desires. According to prosecutors, Jacobson was the middleman who recruited men from around the world to try out for sex events. Those tryouts allegedly required the candidates to first engage in sex acts with Jacobson. Jeffries, who was still running the company at the time until his departure in 2014, allegedly hired household staff to transport the men and supervise the sex events, directing them to wear costumes, use sex toys, and perform sex acts.
The defendants pressured the men to consume alcohol, Viagra, muscle relaxants, and ensure that the men did not leave the sex events.
Several accusers filed a civil lawsuit a year ago. Brad Edwards represents some.
We are very happy that the wheels of justice are moving in the right direction.
Attorneys for Smith and Jeffries saying they will respond when appropriate. Abercrombie and Fitch and Jacobson's attorney declined to comment.
So, Rob, our constitutional lawyer, he says the similarities in these cases is uncanny. By the way, I've never received an invitation for a sex event. Yeah, she was like, hey, would you come to my sex event? So this is a proposed class.
I haven't either. It was Jillian, that Michaels, that woman, that was, she showed up on Gutfeld, and they were talking about one of the Diddy things. She was, I wish I had a clip of it. She was complaining. What was wrong with me? I never got invited to any of this crap.
Proposed class action under New York Adult Survivors Act, which you recall was brought back specifically for Trump and that woman who alleges that he raped her in the department store.
Yeah, a lunatic.
The lawsuit alleges that Abercrombie endorsed and propped up Jeffrey's sex trafficking ring, so that the company, according to the civil claims during his tenure as CEO between 92 and 2014, Jeffries coerced dozens of aspiring male models into having sex during purported Abercrombie casting events at his homes in Manhattan and the Hamptons. Jeffries also arranged for models to be transported abroad for abuse at international casting events for the clothing giants. I mean, this is, it's like, let's just get it all out. Who's next? Who
yeah,
is going to
be more?
Yes.
Although you have the big three, F3.
Well, they killed the Victoria's Secret guy. He died early. He died years ago. Remember the French guy? He was part of the Epstein thing. Whoops, he's dead. Oops, sorry. I don't know. This, who knows?
Listen, the underground of this stuff is just
disgusting.
I don't know. I was laughing because I think there's something funny about it. I mean, these guys are all, going to these sex parties dressed up in costumes and tons of lube and the, I don't know, was it 500, 900 dildos that Diddy had? What do you do with, I mean, it's just the whole thing is, it's ridiculous.
Well, I think at a certain point, power and money, you get bored. And you go, I mean, you've been around.
There's an element of boredom.
You've been around very, not rich, wealthy people. And the thing is, they're always surrounded by crazy politicians who love doing nutty stuff with them. So there's something brewing. Something is brewing. It'd be nice if something we actually heard. I mean, who's celebrity A and who's celebrity B?
They're going to have to start naming names.
Yes, the public has a right to know. You want to
because right now you don't know that these people aren't being blackmailed.
Yeah,
I mean, why does John Kelly to me is still something of a mysterious character because he's a 4-star general. Who knows what he got into?
Yeah,
or Tom Hanks recently coming out on
prime suspect. Tom Hanks is a prime suspect.
So Tom Hanks comes out and he says, "Oh, these people are not, don't vote for Kamala, Kamala. Vote for Kamala because she's like better because this Trump and this Musk guy, they're not people that'll have a beer with you,
or a sex event."
I should have gotten that clip. I'm sorry I didn't, but it's just creepy him saying that. And the other thing is, I'm not electing a president of the United States or giving a crap about having a beer with him. I wouldn't vote for Trump to have a, because I want to have a beer with him. I wouldn't mind having a beer with him, but that's not the idea.
No. And it's all moot, John, because the grid's going down. There'll be no food on the shelves. We're going to be screwed.
Yes, and those micro dots.
I'd like to thank you for your courage. Say in the morning to you, the man who put the C in celebrity A and celebrity B. Say hello to my friend on the other end, the one and only Mr. John C. DeVore. All right. Now, I remember 1800 for Thursday, right?
Yes.
2059.
Why?
Well, because everyone's going crazy. The grid's going down. Everyone wants to, we are here to serve our people and calm them down. And make light of crazy nonsense that people put out there. As long as you're not celebrity A or celebrity B, you're probably okay. It's going to be all right. We're going to have a president. And that's not going to be the end of the woes. There will be at least 4 more years for us. These trolls are in the troll room. You can find that at trollroom.io, or you can use a modern podcast app. Very smart if you use that, because the deplatforming is coming. What was I reading something about? Deplatforming. I'll have to find it. There's definitely, even on X, people get, just turned off for no reason or, demoted. If you don't have a blue check mark, you're guaranteed not showing up at everywhere. And I always have to laugh at people who are yelling and shouting. You got no check mark. You're in the bozo filter. It's like no one really knows what you're saying. It's all just bad. And it's all AI. Oh, did you see Satya Nadella? With the big AI. Oh, it's the big. He's from Microsoft, right? Satya Nadella? Isn't he Microsoft?
Yeah. It's not Satya, is it? It's some other first name. It's Nadella, though, yeah.
Yeah, Satya Nadella. That's him. Yeah. He had the big Microsoft presentation. AI. Here's what they're going to do with AI.
We're using AI to build AI to build better AI.
Oh, right. We're using AI to build AI to build better AI. The backup to the backup to the backup. And so they come out with their new AI. And of course, Microsoft, just like they did with everybody. If Google is doing a podcast, we got to do podcasts. Well, AI, our AI does podcasts. Whoa, you want to hear one of the Microsoft podcasts?
So this is, I'm completely unaware of all this.
So
Microsoft has put together a podcast, phony baloney podcast thing, the software?
Yep.
Oh, I'll bet you it's beautiful.
Welcome back, listeners. This is
right off the bat. Welcome back, listeners. And they've got British voices now.
Welcome.
What's the point?
Back, listeners. What's the point
of a Brit?
I don't know. Somehow we won't notice how bad it is.
This is Dan, and today we're diving into a topic that's
especially... How come everyone's diving in?
Well, because they got to mimic everybody. Way,
we got a pitch letter for one of the the other day, and you spotted it immediately as AI.
Yeah.
And it said diving in.
Yes, for some
in
reason.
In the AI note, it was a note. I contacted the PR guy, and he says he uses it. Oh, it's called Pod. I forgot that there's a specific product.
Pod Chaser?
No. It's an AI product. I had to go look it up.
I should know.
But it's a very specific AI product for public relations firms. He says to me, you know, there's 5 million. I should have corrected him. It's 4.5,
yes,
I think.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
There's 5 million podcasts. What am I supposed to do? He said two things. He said, one, it was AI, and he named the product that it uses.
Oh, I want to know.
And he says, we're the only people that spotted it. All these other boneheads on all these podcasts, they didn't know. Finally, he must be doing a diving in. It was diving in.
Hold on a second. Do you have it handy by any chance?
I can get it.
I have it here. I think I can find it pretty quickly.
Well, you can find the note, but do you find the second note where he tells about the product?
No, you didn't send that to me. I only got the, here it is. So this is what I spotted.
Oh, yeah, this is the AI is the written
pitch.
Note.
This is the pitch.
Pod Pitch, that's the name of the product.
Pod Pitch, I got to write that down. Oh, man, Pod.
I told him we're going to look into Pod Pitch.
Oh, yeah, we'll talk about that tomorrow in the board meeting. All right. Hey, Adam and John. And it's sent to only me, adam@curry.com, because I own the feed. My name is in the feed. Therefore,
you get the pitch.
Yeah. Your latest episode, Oxymoronic, was a fascinating dive into media deconstruction. The mention of the 1699 Club stood out as a clever community building initiative.
It was really lame.
1699 Club is a credit that we put, for episode club.
Yeah, it's a show number.
So I just scanned the show notes and comes up with that. I couldn't help think of how Ashley Matheson, with her 8 million fans, would bring a fresh perspective to the conversation. Ashley is not only a successful model and content creator, but also the host of the Hotter Ones podcast. Her journey from viral TikTok dances to impactful digital storytelling highlights her commitment to authentic creator life discussions, something that aligns with your show's ethos. What? Ashley would be thrilled to share her insights on digital culture and how she's redefining success in the online world. Would you be open to exploring this opportunity for your podcast? Let me know, and I'll be happy to assist further. Best, Brian Gross. No kidding, yeah. Brian Gross.
He is a known publicist.
So it turns out she's like an OnlyFans whore.
Yeah.
which
I want to interview her.
Exactly. Exactly. John's like, hey, look at her. I want to interview her for when we want to have a vacation show.
Yeah, for a vacation show.
That's fine.
I sent it back. I said, I'm interested, you know. And she says, I said, but where is she? And she, where'd you expect?
Yeah, OnlyFans.
Well, she's in L.A.
No, and of course, in the San Fernando Valley? Is that what you said?
That's what my joke was. She's in the San Fernando. She may or may not be in the San Fernando Valley, but she probably is.
Yeah. All right, let's continue with the listening to this deep dive. So, you know, Microsoft, they weren't the first to come out with Windows and a mouse. You know, neither was Apple. It was really Park Xerox. But Microsoft, oh, no, we're going to use a mouse. Oh, Windows 95. That's right. Start me up. All right. So then they're going to do the same thing with podcasts.
Hey, we're diving into a topic that's especially relevant for those of you with busy schedules.
Oh.
Embracing AI in content consumption. We'll be discussing how AI tools are helping us consume diverse content more efficiently and how they're making a big difference in our personal and professional growth.
Oh, growth.
Anna,
growth.
Have you ever found yourself struggling to keep up with all the content you want to consume because of your busy schedule?
Absolutely, Dan. Finding the time to consume all the content we're interested in can be a real struggle, especially when juggling a busy schedule. That's why I'm so excited about the ways AI is helping us adapt content to our needs. For instance, AI tools like tech.
I mean, this is the worst podcast in history.
I don't think so, but it's bad.
It's just, it's a script read by voices. There's no natural flow. There's no at least the other one, she would keep saying,
Yeah, the other one has a lot of mumbling.
Yeah. Anyway, boo Microsoft. Boo.
But what's the point of doing this?
Because everyone else...
These are not good... I mean, they're not podcasts that anyone's ever going to listen to. They're long... I mean, all podcasters are long-winded. We might as well just accept that fact. But these people are just boring.
You know, and what's sad about it is right at the moment when this is coming in, things are falling apart. I mean, did you see Tim Pool, the pool boy?
No, I don't keep up with Tim Pool, the pool boy.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was really interesting. I think it was Monday night.
I know you do because your lovely wife loves Tim Pool.
No, she hasn't watched Pool in months and months and months. Now she got tired of it. She's still Megyn Kelly. She likes Megyn Kelly. The pool boy, you know, he has IRL live, whatever it is. And, you know, so, I mean, I know what happened here. So all of a sudden he's doing the show. He's blaming everybody, the staff. You can't, you know, the studios aren't working right. Can't even get a simple coffee shop going. You know, we should have a CEO, but I don't want to hire a CEO to manage you people. You're not doing it right.
He's complaining?
Yes, the whole show. He was, but I know what happened, and no one is putting two and two together. He has two people to manage guests. He flies guests in. He puts them up. The money dried up. Come on, people.
Where's your Russian memory?
Yeah, where's your memory? It's like the Russian money. I mean, he didn't even know. It doesn't even matter. He just thought he was that good. Oh, look at this. Getting $1 million a year. Woo, that's good. Was it $5 million? Was some outrageous amount?
I think it was
$5 million, I think.
I think it was $500,000 a month or something like that.
Oh, yeah. It was some crazy amount. And so now that instead of just saying, hey, you know, that money dried up and
and when it goes,
I got to fire you guys. Sorry. He was blaming everybody. It was odd. So, but at least
well, that's too bad.
The pool boy was better than this and this nonsense, this AI stuff. So, yeah, it is too bad. It's too bad. Well, I mean, hey, consider value for value, Tim. He has some kind of club. But he's not doing it right. You know, paywall club. We don't like doing
the paywalls that. That's a serious. It's so obvious that you can't get new people in if you create a paywall so you can't show your stuff. It's not good.
And then you have to create all this bonus content. That's what Ira Glass is talking about with This American Life. Well, you know, if you join our club and you subscribe, well, you get bonus content. I don't have time in my life for bonus content. Just give me the show.
You know, Bill Maher has free bonus content online.
Yes.
I don't go look at it. I've rarely seen it. Sometimes somebody will clip it and put it somewhere where he's got, you know, he's usually, you know, three sheets to the wind when he's doing this podcast.
He's pretty hammered.
He's hammered.
Yeah.
And he's moaning about stuff and complaining about Trump. And it's just like, you know, I don't understand why you people would vote for a guy like that.
You know? Pretty much.
So good.
Pretty much.
It's like, okay, well, so why would I pay for that?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it took us at least 5 years to get this show going to where I could consider not having another job. Then, even then, I had to sell my airplane.
You sold your airplane for all kinds of reasons.
No, what are you talking about?
Well, you weren't flying it much.
Well, there's
that. Seemed like a good idea at the time to sell it.
No, I needed the money. What are you talking about?
Yeah, well, it's a good idea at the time. It's called need. Yes.
Yeah, but you're saying for all sorts of reasons. You make
well,
it sound
okay,
like,
one reason.
Yeah, yes, one reason and one reason only. I ate it. Yeah. My point is that, you know, it takes investment. People want everything like, oh, well, if I just do a podcast, I'll get ads and I'll make money. I'll quit my job. No. No, you've got to work at it. So we'll be 17 years this Saturday. And we're celebrating that.
Is it this Saturday?
Yes, I believe so.
No, isn't it next Saturday?
No, the 26th.
Oh, no, that's right. It's the 26th, and we're the 20th, the 21st.
He can, remember what I said on the last episode.
Oh, there we go. Well, I don't remember calendar stuff, that's for sure. That's why I have to have Jay had to be born on 7/11. I can remember that.
So you induced labor with Mimi?
We got, they punched her. And so we had, I got married on 8/8/8/8. I can remember that.
What is my birthday?
I have no idea. It's in September sometime.
Okay. So anyway, we've been doing this value for value. And it's amazing how many people say, well, that's just tips. That's busking. Dude, I'm not doing the show on the side of the road with a jar. It's busking. Oh, I get it. So, you're busking.
I never heard that one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's big. Oh, yeah. It's basically just busking. You do your little dance. And
is that what NPR is doing? They're busking? That's what the churches around the world are doing? They're busking? Is that what they're doing?
No, that's tithing. It's different. Yeah. We actually studied all those models. I would say you and your son studied these models. You studied all these different things. And and then we came up with this way of doing it, which is, you know, which we then named value for value.
Yeah, I give you credit for naming it.
And but it was so obvious to name it that because we just said, you know what? We're giving you this show. I don't know what it's worth to you. You know, your budget.
This is the mistake. Most podcasters do not get that. That's where, when you get that, because the show is worth different amounts to different people. And people with extremely high incomes, and we have them listening to this show, have no qualms about donating $1,000 or more.
But if you say, hey, subscribe for $5 a month, they'll subscribe for $5 a month.
So you have a choice. You want to make get $5 or $1,000.
I mean, it's just like. But also, I think people then automatically value the content less than if they are able to give what they think it's worth. Does that make sense? It's like, oh, well, they only want $5.
It must be worthless.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I know I've talked to more people about this when, you know, I'm not getting paid to be a consultant, but I talk to podcasters and everybody starts off the same way. You know, I have 20,000 listeners, and if I can get all of them to give me, you know, $2, that's like $40,000 a month.
Yes.
I'll make a lot of money.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, you're not going to get all your listeners. You get less than 1%.
Well, what people are forgetting is that there is a limited amount of subscriptions people can have. You've got your Netflix, you got your Amazon, you got your Disney, you got your, you know, your sports package, your Sunday.
Sorry, at the limit.
Yeah, exactly. And then how many shows? No, okay. What is the one I got to cut? Oh, that $5 one? Yeah, I'll just cut a couple of those. Anyway, so, and we work within everybody's budget. How? If you don't have any money, then don't send us any money. Time, talent, treasure. Do something else. Promote us. Promote the show. Lots of people do that. I appreciate that so much. People are like, hey, you should be listening to the best podcast in the universe. And that's beautiful. Excuse me. Or people make art. And we have Dutch masters who are hidden amongst the many AI-generated pieces, which often aren't even that bad. I mean, we chose Brad Trainer, who's been trying for a long time to get a win. And it was I'm pretty sure it's AI. But it was an interesting concept, which no one had done before, as far as I can recall. And that was making an image out of Lego blocks. And he had the No Agenda Lego letters. And it was kind of cool. It worked for me. This was for episode 1705. We titled that Campaigning, which we heard some fine examples of this morning. And let us see. There were some other. I kind of liked the Zelensky riding the rocket, which said NATO or nukes. That was Francisco Scaramanga. You didn't like that. You thought it was, what would you think was borderline creepy, I think, was?
Well, yeah, there was something about it I didn't like it.
I kind of liked that one. I also liked...
I'm looking at it now. I'm thinking, yeah, this is kind of creepy. Zelensky is annoying.
Zelensky was... And I liked the campaigning one.
Which one was that?
Carter. There was the woman with her fingers in her ears and just...
Oh, yeah, I didn't like that at all.
Yeah, I liked that a lot. You didn't, you know... Then what
this
else?
This is too much... that was so... phony AI-ish that I couldn't.
There was a lot of phony AI. Yeah. What is still real? Is there anything that's still... Are there any of our masters? None of our masters. Nestworks.
People weren't that jacked about them.
No. And a lot of robot heads. Why? Oh, maybe you should remind people that if you have an image... And it, to be understood, you need to have a title on the image. It's not going to get chosen.
No. In fact, it's a common way we reject. We see the art and we look at the title and then we...
Yeah.
Without the title, the art's no good.
No.
But with the title... Yeah, with the title, it's hilarious.
Yeah, but it doesn't work that way.
And no, because we don't run the title.
Now, Dropko, Matthew Dropko, we liked his general concept of McTrump's fries... But then it looked nothing like a McDonald's logo.
Had a complaint about this. Now, he's also sent a notice. Oh, I should have said Donald's because, you know, there was a
million different things he could have done there.
But a lot of things. But your complaint, and I had to agree with it, I did. That French fries was under consideration.
Yes, it was.
And it was. You have to use the same logo. The font has to be the McDonald's font.
Yeah, to be a no agenda.
Not some, he's got some cursive rando font. I don't know what it is.
Rando. There's the rando. Yeah, that just didn't work, unfortunately. But congratulations to Brad Trainer. Who was only, he only started, well, let me see, look at this.
He's been part. Trying for a while.
Yeah, with a lot of stuff that really didn't make it. He's been trying. Anyway, we are very appreciative of all of the artists or prompt jockeys or whatever you are for giving us something to use to promote the show every single time. It's fresh, it's new, it's different, gets people's attention. A lot of these images have been knocking out of the park recently. This really wasn't an out of the park knock, hit, swing.
They're just pretty.
It was pretty. It was good. Yeah, sometimes it's good enough to just be pretty if it doesn't pertain to something in culture or to the show. Sometimes it's just pretty. So we appreciate that. NoAgendaArtGenerator.com. That's where you can upload your own art. There is also, I think you can contact... I forget who created this.
Paul Couture?
Paul Couture, thank you. People sometimes have issues and they won't upload and they email me and they email me... entire Adobe Photoshop files and stuff. I can't help you, or look for him on Mastodon or something. In general, people seem to be able to create an account and then upload. NoAgendaArtGenerator.com. Thank you so much for everybody. And again, thank you to Brad Trainer. Now we have some people to thank. Because that is the other part of value for value that people are always missing. You can't just sit back and say, well, send me some money. You got to thank people. And it doesn't have to be huge and elaborate, but what are you laughing at? What are you laughing at?
It's really, the idea that you...
It's true.
Because I actually have heard podcasters do that.
Do what?
Hey, send me some money, huh?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. If you don't thank... Now, to be very clear, some people have the wrong idea. You're sending value for value received. And some people are like, hey, you should say something about people who voluntarily give you money. Money! So, well... You know, then don't send it. You know, if you don't want us thanking you or, you know, if we don't do your read right, we have no obligation, but we are truly thankful. And what we've decided and we've done a long time ago is we'll thank everybody who comes in above $50, mostly because, well, we made that cutoff because a lot of people wanted to send us $50, but didn't want to make sure we were screwing up in the beginning. We were mentioning people. I want to be anonymous. And I said, okay, anything under 50, anonymous. And then there's the sustaining donations, which is very much appreciated. What are you laughing at? What?
I'm just listening to that voice you just did about, I want to be anonymous.
Well,
you're doing shtick here, and I'm laughing at it. Okay?
Oh, okay. All right. I got an audience of one. All right. No, but the sustaining donations are very important because, and you know, first of all, they count towards your knighthood, any kind of level you want to do. It's like a subscription that is open. You know, you can give once a year, once a month, once a week, once an episode, whatever amount you want. And then sometimes you hit us with a boost. You know, if you think something was great or if you're appreciative or if we have a promotion, which we also do, we always do that at the end of the year. And we have got our 17th birthday coming up and people like a reason to support us. Oh, yeah. It's been 17 years. I should be supporting these guys. A lot of those notes, by the way, haven't donated in 10 years. All right. So good. You're in. Thank you. That's how it should work.
Finally.
It's a roller coaster for to live this way, but it's I kind of like the excitement. So we have actual producer titles and credits that we give to people who come in at $200 or above, then you get an associate executive producer credit, which you can use anywhere credits are recognized in showbiz land. You can probably get into a sex event with it. You know, say, hey.
Yeah, for sure.
hey.
Don't drink the vodka.
Whatever you do. But yeah, if you say, I'm an associate executive producer. Now, they may say, I'm sorry, executive producers only at this sex event. In that case, it's $300 above, and we read your note. And we're going to start off with our, with Mark Rashal. I think it would be Rashal. And Mark Rashal comes in booming right away with the Rubbalizer donation.
India Tango Mike, stand by. 33, 33, 33, Rubbalizer out.
And Mark is in Monument, Colorado, and sent us 3333.33. This is the big Rubbalizer donation. Thank you so much, Mark. And he says, ITM and hello, guys. Dr. Rashal, Viscount, not sure here. I couldn't pass up an opportunity to add Commodore to my title as well. I would also like to gift this title to my smoking hot wife, Gigi, my sister, Dame Marie, and my brother, Nick, and my two human resources, James and Vincent. See, this is a very nice idea.
Does he want them all to... He's got enough in here in this pot that they can all get Commodore ships.
That's exactly what he said.
Is that what he's doing?
That's exactly what he just said. I like to add Commodore to my titles. We'll also like to gift this title of Commodore. That's the way I read it. Yeah. And so, yeah, so he has enough in the pot that everybody, and you have a, you become
you get
a Commodore.
You get a Commodore.
Get everybody gets a Commodore. Everyone's a
and
Commodore.
And by the way, noagendarings.com, you've got to go there. Mark, and fill out, or have somebody go there and fill out the details so this gets shipped to the right locations with the right titles.
Exactly. And he says, on this is two human resources, James and Vincent. Can I get a You Might Die Due to Climate Change and a Bitcoin jingle? Thank you for all your courage, Mark Rashal.
You might die
due to climate change.
They're saying that all hell is going to break loose and you're going to need a Bitcoin.
He's probably a Bitcoiner. That's how he can afford these Commodore ships.
Sir Kane Brake in St. George, Louisiana came in with $1,000.
Wow.
Hello, John and Adam. My treasure includes a partial switcheroo. $500 is for an executive producership and a Commodore commission for my wife, Dame Tracy of the Roman Rite. The other $500 is for my own executive producership and Commodore commission. I like these ideas, these combos.
Yes, yes. Nice.
It would be an honor to share a command with my wife. My wife, dame and fellow Commodore, outranking everyone else is a bonus. Sir Cane Break in St. George, Louisiana.
All right, so they both get... Hey, there's Cody Dowd, my buddy from Corpus Christi. $1,000. This donation of $1,000 is a splitteroo with my oldest son, Cade. He was hit in the mouth by his mom and dad. I know his mom and dad. I've met them. They're very nice people. And now loves the show. Yeah, better, kid. He's away at college, so it gives us something other than school and football to discuss. We're very proud of him, and he will make an excellent Commodore. His birthday is on 11/12, so I would also like to request an early biscuit for his birthday. And I got a biscuit for his birthday.
They always give me a biscuit on my birthday.
And I would also like to request an early, the birthday got it. Also, her requests. Wait, what am I? His birthday. Also, I guess he requests football karma. Yeah, he requests football karma for their game against Syracuse today. It'll be on ESPN. Wow.
Who's Syracuse playing?
I don't know. It's something good going on there. It will be an ESPN. Call out Shad H as a douchebag. Now for Cade's Commodore title. Commodore Cade of Nueces County in Corpus Christi Bay. I retired from naval service earlier this year, and I'm enjoying retirement while working as a contractor. I think it's a little unfair that you dangle such an awesome promotion, knowing full well that old Navy guys will not be able to resist. This is a fact.
So the kid's going to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. Yeah.
No, that's Syracuse is playing them today.
Yeah. Well, go Pitt. What's the name of the
Pitt
team?
Pitt can beat them.
No, they will. They will now.
Well, it's Pitt 6-0.
Since I'm familiar with the South Texas coast, both its waters and airspace above, I would like to claim the title of Commodore Doder of the Southern Gulf Coast Fleet. It shall be made so. Respectfully request China is asshole. Oh, I got that. China is asshole. Followed by due to climate change. Oh, people are liking the due to climate change these days. And then they're eating the dogs. Wow. All right. And the F-35 karma. Well, of course, he would want the F-35 karma. For a great semester in football season for both our boys and a great semester in school play for our daughter. Cheers. Thank you for your courage. Soon to be Commodore Doder, Southern Gulf Coast Fleet.
China is asshole.
Due to climate change.
They're eating the dogs.
You've got... karma.
Is our local buddy Duke of San Francisco in San Francisco with $969.33, and he wants to be Commodore Duke named Ben named Ben.
Nice.
He's the Duke. The yes. Dude named Ben named Ben. Yes. Dude named Ben named Ben. He's now Duke ben, named Ben. Well, whatever.
Ben.
A lot
ben,
of Bens ben. Here. Mm-hmm. Jingles, Rubbleizer, best part of waking up, fluoride in your cup, which is an old classic, and chemtrails.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time to rubbleize.
Best part of waking up is fluoride in my cup.
Chemtrails.
All right. Chad Spacey, $500.64. I bet that's for some Commodore-related goodness. And let's see what he says. I've been listening since before you started No Agenda. Well, how does that work? Oh, one Sunday while watching Twit, I heard John mention the two of you were starting a podcast called No Agenda. Back then, I craved all things radio/podcast and would give everything a chance. I watched several of John's tech shows. The first No Agenda was rough, but I've listened to just about every No Agenda. Thank you so much. I love you both.
The first ones were terrible.
They were very bad. I love you. Thank you so much. I love you both and everyone who helps with this production. Well, you're talking to them. And then Mimi and Jay, of course. And Tina also helps. And all the kids help. They don't know.
And we have the meetup site. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, we have lots of people. Producers.
We have a lot of people.
Yeah. And we have lots of producers. The producers. Well, yes.
Me.
You are at the top of my credible list. I'd like to give just a small piece of advice to the No Agenda audience. Only keep money in the bank that you are willing to lose. I feel in the near future, they may just take money straight out of the banks and the grid's going down. So I keep maybe $500 in the back at any time to pay some bills for things like checks. My piping hot girlfriend, E Squared, has a credit union. We've always advised credit union. And she can write checks for special things like my $500.64 Commodore. When I gave her the cash to make this check to No Agenda, she wanted me to tell you to play douchebag check jingle. Well, there's something we haven't heard in a long time.
Douchebag check.
That's her favorite. I'd also like to give her jobs karma. She's been working super hard to find a job. Also, please give a birthday shout out November 16th to my piping hot girlfriend, E Squared. Thank you, Chad Spacey, soon to be Commodore 64. And we'll give your piping hot girlfriend a jobs karma.
Jobs, 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 and jobs. Let's vote for jobs. You've got karma.
Of course, the reference to piping hot is mine.
Yes, it is. Yes,
because it's one of my one of my pet peeves, and I keep hearing it to this day on these cooking shows. Piping hot! It's piping hot! I don't care. You have to read the next one because it blows out my spreadsheet.
Okay, they're all blowing out mine, but
yes, but it's because piping hot.
This is from John Yaglensky, Hilton Head Island, South Carolina, $500. I've been listening now since late 2019. This is long overdue. See, there you go. The universe has been sending me messages for months, yet I ignored them. I can no longer do so. My wife, Stacy, and I celebrate our 33rd, wedding anniversary recently, and they never had a fight. He says it right there. Not only is 33 your favorite number, but I've been seeing it frequently over the past few months. Yes, this is something that happens. He says, checking into hotels with 33 in the room number more times than I can count. Restaurant bills adding up to $33.33, you name it. Then just 2 days ago, I checked the preseason college basketball rankings for my school, the University of Dayton Flyers, and they came in at, yes, you guessed it, number 33 for the upcoming season. It'll only stop when you donate. This is the only way to stop.
It'll never stop.
So now it's time to end my douchebaggery and become an official part of the No Agenda Nation. So I'm going to give him a douche.
You've been de-douched.
John, I've been following you since the days of Cranky Geeks and Big Thinkers on Tech TV and love your perspective on things and unfiltered opinions. Adam, I wasn't sure about you back in the MTV days, but your common sense approach on the show quickly won me over, and I cannot thank you enough for your work on podcasting and podcasting 2.0. I'm a former radio guy, turned corporate comms professional. I've been doing a Disney Parks podcast for intercot.com since 2010. Not as long as you guys, but 14 years isn't too shabby. No kidding. Anyway, I've droned on long enough. Yes. So no jingles, just some karma, please. Appreciate all you do. Hope this helps ward off an exit strategy for a few more years. Yes, four to be exact. P.S. If you can someday share your Rodecaster 2 processing settings, I'd forever be grateful. Your mic sounds great. I'd be more than happy to do that. Send me an email. I will actually send you the files. You can do with them what you want.
You've got karma.
Broadcasting guy, note too long.
Yep.
Charles Mayfield.
Another one of my friends. Charles from Pharaoh.life, the lard guy.
He's the lard guy?
Yeah, so I'll tell you quickly. His story is he used to be a hemp farmer, and he was out, he's in Tennessee, I think. And and so he was trying to get the irrigation right, and it broke and whatever happened. So he was out in the sun for, 48 hours trying to fix this, got horribly sunburned. And then he had some lard from cooking bacon, and because it was in the house, it was weekend, there was nothing was open, it was some holiday weekend. So he started rubbing lard on his sunburned arms, and it was so phenomenal, he started a whole business out of it. And now you have this Pharaoh.life, which the women love when they put it on their skin.
Oh, that's right. I think he sent me some of that
yes,
stuff.
Yes, yes. And you know what? The women's dogs love it just as much.
I'll bet the dogs love it more. He's in Tennessee, $500. Long overdue treasure, contributor to the No Agenda mission. Winter is coming. We must protect the necks from the creps. Put a discount together for the No Agenda listeners for 17.76%. Use the code No Agenda at checkout at the site pharaoh.life. That's pharaoh.life. Moving forward, 10% of all proceeds from the No Agenda community will go directly back to the show.
Wow.
So that's actually a big discount.
It is.
Yes. Value for value for value. Wonder how long it will take until you will be calling me Duke Hogfather. Stay strong in the faith, brother, and please consider throwing a little karma our way with the Lord on our side. Everything is possible.
He actually says with the Lord on our side.
Oh.
And Charles, we need to know what your Commodore ship will be. So let me know and go to the site.
You've got karma.
NoAgendaRings.com for your Commodore details.
Yes, go to NoAgendaRings.com.
I will take these two since both of them have no note. Richard Cobban from Cornville, Arizona, $500. We presume it's for a Commodore ship. And Michael Coupon, Lafayette, Indiana, also $500. Double up karma.
You've got karma.
Sir Luke is up, and he's in London, Ontario, Canada. $500. Nice short notices for my Commodore ship. Some long overdue value. No jingles, no karma. Sir Luke.
Thank you. Robert Ryan in Norton, Ohio, $500. ITM, love the show. Can I please have the name Commodore J-Stroke? Sure. I am no longer a douchebag, but I think Jake in Dayton, who hit me in the mouth, is still one. Douchebag. Come on, man. Put me on the birthday list for October 31st. Thank you for your courage. Ahoy, he says. Ahoy, back to you, brother.
Jesus Vera in Chicago, $500. I'm sorry for being selfish, boys, but may the four more years be perpetual. For jingles, can I get some L. Sharpton and some Jobs Karma?
R-E-S-P-I-C-T.
Jobs, 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 and Jobs. Let's vote for Jobs.
Lisa Karma.
L.B. L.B. is in Seattle, Washington, $350, executive producership for you. Hey, guys, thank you for producing the best podcast in the universe. If you have time, jingles, AC/DC guitar riff, Goat Karma, and a little girl yay. I have a little bit of AC/DC. That's what you're talking about.
AC/DC's greatest hits.
Maybe that's what he's talking about.
Available with
I have no idea.
You've got karma.
Yay! That's all I got for you, man. That's the best.
Okay, we got Claire. Claire Muchler in Pasadena, Maryland, with a note. I believe this is the handwritten note.
Yeah. So you're not going to read the hand. You're going to make me read the handwritten note because it was very difficult to read. Unless it's.
I can read it. Yeah. I have it in front of me. I actually have.
Now, did she send something to the P.O. box? Because I haven't been to the P.O. box. I think she sent her book there. Is that what happened here?
She sent a gorgeous book and to this P.O. box.
I think she sent one to me as well.
It's a children's book. It's pretty nice. I'll read parts of this note. This note is two pages. ITM, Adam, and John. My name is Claire Muchler, and I'm writing to you as someone who, I'm reading this longhand and it's cold read, so it's going to be slow, who was hit in the mouth about 10 years ago by my then boyfriend, now husband, Cliff, who insisted we listen to your show on road trips.
Wow.
As much as I resisted and rolled my eyes,
there you go.
I eventually realized you all had some important things to say, and dare I say it, made me laugh.
Oh,
I don't know why she has to dare to say it, but
no,
okay.
She dares.
Anyway, 10 years later, and I'm writing to ask for your help. I have rightly written and
self-published
a Christmas children's book called
Finn the Fur,
F-I-R. Because this is a self-published book, I am also having to self-market it, which is why you all fit in. In other words, this is an ad.
Yeah.
I would love it if you would mention the book in the best podcast in the universe.
Can you write the copy in all block letters for us or something?
Next time, yes, do that. I will give her the plug she's looking for here. Thank you, Adam and John. And then she's got, okay. Now, do you see an address or a?
No.
Okay, you website. Here's the website.
Oh, she does have a website. Okay.
Claire, C-L-A-I-R-D, Muchler, M-U-C-H, like much, Lur, L-E-R, C-L-A-I-R-E-D, M-U-C-H-L-E-R.com.
It's available on Amazon and online through.
Oh, it's on Amazon. Go there.
Yes.
Or, no, actually, go to her.
Go to Amazon her website.
Amazon's just a jib. They take too much money. We do the same thing.
Exactly. Finn, F-I-N-N, the fur. Now, I think she sent one to the P.O. box for here in Frederick.
Yeah, you probably have one. It's a really nice, well-produced book. It's very professional. She could have had it published by anybody.
Including
TooManyEggs.com is another site you should go to because Mimi said you haven't mentioned it forever.
Oh.
Even though there's a meetup called TooManyEggs.com.
Jill at our church, Jill and Mike. Jill, she decided she was going to become a rancher. And all of a sudden she's
bought
like,
chickens.
Oh, yeah. She also has longhorns, but she has chickens. She's like, I don't know what to do with these eggs. I said, I have the perfect book for you. We gave her the book and we saw her last night. She's like, this is the best book. I'm already making the quiche and all these other things she was making. It's a big hit with the wannabe ranchers.
Well, if I were you, I would say you got too many eggs. How about a few dozen? Because the farm eggs are the best.
Oh, no, she's giving us eggs. But
you're getting free eggs.
Okay, oh, yeah. Good. No, of course. Of course. We move on. Yes.
Too many chickens, you get too many eggs.
We move on to Sir Kevin of Devon, Gig Harbor, Washington, 311. If you are a sad puppy because you missed out on Bitcoin, now is your chance for redemption. Soak Google for AdSense money and support John and Adam by subscribing to my YouTube channel, Real Boring Flips, where I provide my wit and wisdom gained from years of reselling old crap on eBay. As of now, I need 311 more subscribers to get to the first monetization level, plus a whole lot of view hours. 33% of all AdSense income will go back to the show. Oh, it's pennies. Act fast with only 4 more years to go. Please watch some videos, smash like and subscribe, and keep an eye out for fun NA Easter eggs. Even John makes a surprise appearance in my recent Goodwill unboxing Apple IIc video at 22 minutes and 42 seconds. Submit your best NA style comments to any video for a chance at my monthly Best Comment in the Universe Award and a show donation in your name upon approval. Please send a healthy dose of exit strategy karma. This is Commodore Sir Kevin of Devon. All right.
We'll add a Devon. Goat.
Yes, we'll add a
You've
goat.
Got karma.
That's right. He's already a Commodore. That's right.
Now we have Blake. He's in Perth.
Yes, I know Blake.
Western Australia. 26322. He's associate executive producer. My forgetfulness to donate before my vacation was most definitely punished by the number of things that didn't go to plan on the holiday. Please accept my $400 donation. Oh, we have to up him to move him to executive producer because this is $400 in dollar reduce, which came into 263.
We'll
as atonement. And please give me some jobs karma, relationship karma, and any other karma you can think of. Love the show and can't wait to catch up on my flights home. Blake from Perth.
All right, we'll give you a TPP jobs karma. It's a big one. And an F-35.
Jobs.
There you go.
Karma.
Associate executive producer for Feed Read Apps. Feed Read Apps, Coral Springs, Florida. I combined my disregard for the M5M with my love for making cool apps to create RedWaveFeed.com. RedWaveFeed.com. It aggregates news from 4 different mediums and highlights content trending with our users. Oh, this is an RSS feed reader. I'm all for that. The RSS feed shows stories as they break, and the podcastindex.org podcast section aggregates podcasts from various alternative news sources. I'm going to get this app. I love RSS. Unfortunately, the big tech overlords won't let me market RedWave feed or publish the iOS or Android versions, so go to redwavefeed.com to check out what mainstream media doesn't want you to see. Oh, that's horrible.
I wonder what that's all about.
Well, there's a real problem with RSS apps.
Why?
I'm going to tell you. The app stores will reject it, saying, you have to show that you have permission from everybody whose feed you're reading. I kid you
what?
Not. I kid you not. And I know this because whenever someone, and this is mainly Apple, I don't know, I think Google does it too. I'm sure Google Play Store. Whenever someone creates a new podcast app, they'll get a rejection notice that says, well, do you have, and this is this exact voice, do you have permission from everybody to use their RSS feeds? At which point we have a standard template, and I send that out on behalf of the app maker, the developer, and I say, hey, this is I'm Adam. We have the Podcast Index. These are voluntarily submitted, and they are free, and this app is permitted to use our API, and then they approve it.
But you have that particular piece of information in the Podcasting 2.0 EULA. I'm not joking.
What do you mean? Yes, I think we actually do.
Because if you do, then I think you're legit. Otherwise, you're just sit talking. I think that way, I really think it has to be in the EULA.
I think it's in the TOS. I don't think we have a EULA. We have a TOS.
What's the terms of service?
Yes. Yes. I don't think we have a EULA. I would never subject anybody to a EULA. Let me see.
Should be. Well, whatever. It's just a yes, you should be doing this.
Yeah, of course.
It's ridiculous because it seems to me you put RSS out there for a reason. It's not because you want to lock it down.
No, but the reason why these Silicon Valley companies don't want that is because they want people to, you know, to use the social networking apps. There's no benefit. There's no benefit to people using RSS. That seems pretty obvious to me.
Gina B in Mission, people, British Columbia, and she comes in with 220.33, and she says, ITM, thank you for your courage. Hoping to add my smoking hot husband's birthday to the list on October 27th. Eduardo Jimenez turns 42. Many thanks for hitting me in the mouth. Request a jingle, something hot on my leg. And a yak karma, please. Congratulations on the show's sweet 17, Gina B.
I just felt something hot on my legs.
Jeez. You've got...
That's pretty bad.
Karma.
I'm going to read the next one so you can get the big one.
Oh, geez,
Matthew
thanks.
Martell in Broomall, Pennsylvania, 21060. Hey, JCD, advice accepted from show 1697. However, no listener filled my $55 spot for show 1701. You were upset at how short the list was. Calling all douchebags. Visit martellhardware.com. Martellhardware. I can't say it for some reason. Hardware.com. Martell spelled like the cognac. M-A-R-T-E-L-L. Use coupon code SADPUPPY for 10% off your order. Okay.
All right. And then I get this monster one, which is from Micah Sherrill, Hendersonville, North Carolina.
Micah or Micah?
Micah. I am Micah Sherrill. My father, Michael, and I are artists, and we have long admired your work. He founded the company Mud Tools. That makes pottery tools, and I work alongside him. We had 28 employees, 10 of whom were family. Half of my dad's company and my home sat in Bat Cave, North Carolina, near Chimney Rock. You feel where this is going? The office was on the first floor of the house I lived in beside the Rocky Broad River. One Friday morning, I woke at 8:50 thinking it was just the sound of orders being packed, but no, it was boulders crashing into the house.
Wow.
Yeah, this is Helene. I escaped in my car to the firehouse. By 9:50, my home and half of my father's business were gone, swallowed by the river. Some called that place Ground Zero. Three rivers met there, and it was the epicenter of destruction. I've never known my neighbors before. We found ourselves together at the firehouse, trapped with a rescue team. The violence by the river was immense, but the surge receded just as water began to fill the firehouse. We were surrounded by mudslides, fallen trees, and broken bridges. The army reached us after 2 days, crossing a shattered bridge. Seeing my father and brother waiting for me was a moment I will not forget. The next day, I was airlifted out of the valley, but most of my family stayed behind to protect what remained. We went without power for 17 days while they cleaned the roads and restored communications. This is heartbreaking. The destruction here is hard to fathom, yet through it all, my family has come together. I found new friends and family in the neighbors and rescue workers who'd shared this experience. I lost everything except for my car, but somehow I feel richer than before. I have seen amazing love, kindness, and miracles recently. My family will rebuild, and I am hopeful. The media would have us believe our neighbors won't have our backs in a time of need, but I can tell you that in Western North Carolina, this is not true. COVID may have driven people apart, but Helene has done the opposite. Thank you both for making a show that brings a little light to the world. P.S. Isaiah 58:6 speaks to me about everything that has happened, and he has a link to it. There are also links to my what is his link tree here? Check out the Instagram link for videos from the flood. There are also links to my dad's art and company site as well. GoFundMe links. Micah Sherrill on Instagram.
Micah a woman?
I don't know. MICAHSHERRILL. Micah Sherrill. I don't have the link. So 210 and 60. Well, I will definitely be praying for you and your family and your neighbors and everybody there. Thank you, Micah. I think it's Micah.
Eli, the coffee guy's up in Bensonville, Illinois. He comes in with 210.24 and says, last episode's tip of the day about chia seeds was fantastic. We actually make pudding from chia seeds, soaking them in almond milk overnight and mixing in spices and dried fruit. I never thought to throw them in my smoothies, because they can get a little gritty, but let it soak 5 minutes and boom, shakalaka. It's a game changer. I come for the show, but stay for the tip. And even though it's great to start the day with a smoothie, coffee is fantastic. In the morning, at any time of the day, visit gigawattcoffeeroasters.com and use the code ITM for 20% off your order. Stay caffeinated. Eli, the coffee guy.
All right, Eli. Indiana, the Indy No Agenda Meetup, Greenwood, Indiana, $205. This is the Indiana Meetup Switcheroo on behalf of Dame Swanee. In the morning from Indianapolis, keep up the awesome work. Yes, Dame Swanee, I guess she won the raffle. And we do have a report coming up in just moments or in our second segment somewhere.
Linda Lupatkin in Lakewood, Colorado. $200.
Okay. You're going to make me do the long one again. I got it.
Jobs karma but she's asking for jobs karma, believe it or not.
No, no.
For a resume that gets results, go to imagemakersinc.com for all your executive resume and job search needs. That's imagemakersinc with a K. Or find Linda Lou, Duchess of Jobs and writer of resumes on the producer list.
Jobs, 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 and jobs. Let's vote for jobs.
You thought karma.
And then our final associate executive producer with $200, anonymous escapee from the corrupt progressive hellhole of Massachusetts. Thanks for helping keep us sane to a degree. The first of a two-part donation from us cashing out of our home in progressive corrupt political hellhole of Massachusetts. Don't sugarcoat it. Great fairy tale suburban town outside Boston to raise and educate kids. But since COVID and the trans, the kids movement and clusters, the crazy clowns have completely taken over our 25-year-old adopted hometown, and we can stomach no longer. Wow. Our excellent, so far, kids are in Utah and Colorado for now, still have a home in a beautiful mountain town in the Socialist Republic of Vermont, for now holding steady there, and the kids would be pissed off if we gave up on that town. At least in Vermont, the corruption is only about 10% of Massachusetts, and most of the commies mean really well. They are just dopey and not fascist. After we figure out how deep of a Western red spot we need to put a flag down, in with our Massachusetts inflated house proceeds after the election results, we'll figure out part two. All right. Well, I'm glad you're escaping, and thank you very much for the support. And that wraps up our executive and associate executive producers for episode 1706. We appreciate it. Really appreciate it a lot. Thank you for supporting us. Of course, we will be thanking all of these Commodores with our special Commodore arriving ceremony. We've got a lot more to come in our second donation segment. You can go to noagendadonations.com if you want to support the show in any manner, any value, any way whatsoever. We accept time, talent, and treasure. And thank you again for these official credits of executive and associate executive producer.
Our formula is this: we go out, we hit people in the mouth.
I just felt something hot on my legs.
Shut up.
Boom, ba-da-boom, boom. Boom, ba-da-boom, boom.
How about this Texas story for you, just for you? Oh, wait, before we do that, I have an Ask Adam.
Oh, I was not prepared for this. Allow me to get a jingle. Ask Adam jingle. Do we have a jingle? Yeah. Okay, here we go. Oh, this is not. This is just a jingle. There we go. Wow, almost not worth it. Okay, and ask Adam.
Ask a lot of work.
A lot of work for that. Ask Adam jingle. Okay, what is the question?
The question is, well, it's a question I'll ask Adam after the clip is played.
Federal authorities have seized $76 million worth of illegal e-cigarettes. The FDA and Customs and Border Protection said yesterday the shipment involved about 3 million illegal e-cigarettes. Authorities said the e-cigarettes were intentionally mislabeled as actual vaping products. The seizure stemmed from a joint operation aimed at cracking down on illegal shipments across the border. The agency previously warned online retailers about selling unauthorized e-cigarette items, which often end up in the hands of children.
I have a very confusing report.
That's what I'm asking you. What's an illegal e-cigarette, and how's it not a vape?
I believe what they're talking about here is the self-contained vapes that have the cartridge or something built right into it. What it really means is something that the tobacco companies are not making money on. And the reason I say this is because Philip Morris, their shares have just hit an all-time high on the boom from Zyn. Are you familiar with Zyn?
I'm not familiar with Din.
Zyn. Zulu.
Vin? Vin? Din?
Zulu,
Vin?
Zulu, what is it? Zulu Yankee November.
Zin, as in Zinfandel? They got the wine business?
Nope. These, actually, Tucker Carlson has been promoting these, not for money, because he's hooked on them. They are oral nicotine pouches.
He's hooked on them?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, he
How
always,
would you know this?
Because he said it. He said it multiple times, and he's sticking them in his mouth. He has them right in his gum while he's talking all the time, all day long.
It's like chaw.
And they're very addictive, apparently. And this is now their stock. The stock is now, it's like some crazy, like $131, $132. And so this is a protective mechanism, because an e-cigarette would be a nicotine disbursement device. And we can't have that, because that market, after they ruined the entire vaping market by buying up Juul and then killing it off. No, we need to have that. So that report was confusing.
I've never heard of Zyn or the Tucker's. No,
you would probably like it. You'd probably like to have a little pouch of Zyn tucked away your gum there while you're doing the show.
I don't like the idea. It sounds, if you have something like that tucked away in your gum, it sounds like something that'll cause cancer. I sat next to, it was Nancy Snyderman, I think, on an airplane once, and have been
Who was Nancy Snyderman?
She was a famous TV doctor,
mm-hmm.
but she's a real doctor, and she did. She was an. It turns out, even though she was on TV, she'd be promoting whatever she promoted. This is like 20 years ago, or longer, and she was a nose, throat, and ear doctor, or something, or mouth, nose. I don't know what it was, but she said most of her time is spent doing cancer operations on people's gums for, you know, these things like what is going on with that Zen product where you stick, you know, or chaw. She said she just was hated tobacco products because it causes these horrible mouth cancers.
Mm.
And that's right there. I was like, oh, okay. So the likelihood of me liking Zen is a zero.
Mm. Well,
after listening to her, my God, it was disgusting.
By the way, in the podcast index terms of service, we do have a whole section there on submission of content. So yes, we're covered. We're good to go. It's all in there. Thank you for making good. Me look. I have a new term on the show. As you know, the BRICS conference is taking place this week. Very, very exciting because there's nothing really happening. We're going to have our own payment system. We talked about that on the last show. You still have to use a MasterCard or Visa to fill up your BRICS pay. Yeah, so
ludicrous.
I guess they're still working on the actual CBDC and the hub and spoke model they speak of. But it talks cheap. Well, talk is cheap, but you know they're talking about stuff. So it's not that we shouldn't be completely worried about it. I think they're just pushing it off until Trump becomes president and then says, hey, put him back on SWIFT and the dollar is the way to go. But Deutsche Welle introduces us to a new term, which is a part outgrowth of the BRICS.
For 24 years, Russian President Vladimir Putin steered clear of Pyongyang. But in June of this year, the stars aligned. Putin was back in North Korea's capital city with leader Kim Jong-un in need of more firepower for Russia's war against Ukraine. Then, earlier this month came a meeting with Iran's new president, Masoud Pezeshkian. Putin cementing ties with a country that's helped push his full-scale Ukraine invasion since almost the beginning. And then there's his relationship with China's Xi Jinping, whose country has helped Russia less directly by providing critical components for weaponry and by not opposing Putin on Ukraine. All told, together, they've been recently dubbed the Crinks.
The Crinks!
Oh, please.
Crinks.
I have a report along the same lines, although it doesn't have that term. This is a DPRK in Russia. It's a short report from NTD.
And the latest on allegations of North Korean troops fighting for Moscow. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin now confirms the soldiers are in Russia already. This comes after days of ambiguity.
As we continue to look at this, there is evidence that there are DPRK troops in Russia. What exactly they're doing, left to be seen.
This is such a scam. This is such
I'm in total agreement with this.
This is complete crap. It's just military industrial complex warmongering, and shame on CBS for picking it up.
Video released by the Ukrainian government shows North Korean troops receiving military gear in Russia. CBS cannot independently verify the footage, but Defense Secretary Austin confirmed that Vladimir Putin and Kim Jong-un have their troops training side by side at three specialized military sites inside of Russia.
There is evidence that there are DPRK troops in Russia.
Ukrainian President Zelensky warned him that Russia may send those forces to Ukraine, proving Putin seeks to escalate, not negotiate. And South Korean officials say the number may soon climb to 10,000, revealing that Russia is already training 3,000 North Korean special forces how to operate equipment, including drones. U.S. officials said the North Korean soldiers traveled in mid-October by ship from North Korea to eastern Russia and could end up on the battlefield.
If Russia is indeed forced to turn to North Korea for manpower, this would be a sign of weakness, not strength, on the part of the Kremlin.
Russia has already lost roughly 600,000 soldiers, according to the Pentagon, and has turned to hired mercenaries from Cuba and other countries for manpower. An axis of U.S. adversaries are now helping Russia. Iran sent personnel and drones. China lent much-needed financial support, and North Korea sent munitions.
Crank.
The U.S. is still trying to figure out what Kim Jong-un thinks he's getting out of this deal, and fear it could include Russian expertise to help build out his nuclear program.
It's been concerning, certainly this development, this willingness of Kim to literally put skin in the game here.
Well, let's put some more military stuff in South Korea then, or whatever, to get on with it. Stop with the PSYOP. We get it. More arms, more stuff. Got it. By the way, one of our trolls says here that this is why India is key for BRICS. They have RuPay, which is a MasterCard Visa alternative, and the Reserve Bank of India has been the Reserve Bank of the Middle Eastern countries, or was a Reserve Bank for the Middle Eastern countries up until the 80s. Well, that's interesting.
Rupee, it's a pun.
Yeah, well, it's marketing, man. Rupee.
And yes, this North Korea thing is nonsense. You know, the other thing that I'm surprised nobody picked this up is that there's been these countries, we do it all the time, joint operations, practice wars.
Yes. Yeah. War games.
Yeah, war games. And so currently underway, I think, or just might be ending, is the war games that were played with Iran and Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
Which is like, wait a minute, this is...
What?
Makes no sense. And so they couldn't figure out some way of making a fuss about it, I guess. I mean, this North Korea thing is ludicrous.
There was something else about that I can't find offhand. I'm failing everywhere. Hey, one of our old buddies passed away. Someone who we talked about a lot in the early days of the show. He's gone.
This is just in the Action News. Controversial Turkish cleric Fethullah Gulen, who has been living in exile in the Poconos in Pennsylvania, has died. Gulen first moved to Pennsylvania in 1999, but the Islamic spiritual leader still held sway over many Turks from afar. Turkey's president blamed Gulen for masterminding the failed coup attempt in that nation in 2016, where more than 250 people were killed and 2,200 were wounded. Gulen was in his 80s.
So this guy has that compound in the Poconos, and he has a huge stake in the charter schools, particularly in Texas, but really all over the U.S.
Yes, he was a school guy.
And we have one of our producers, Sir Mark Hall, happens to be an expert on the topic. He, in fact, produced a movie, a documentary called Killing Ed. I have a link in the show notes under Gulen. You can watch it, I think, on Tubi. And lo and behold, he shows up on TRT. He's being interviewed about it.
What are your thoughts and what do you think about the death of the ringleader of Fethi Gulen?
Well, I think this is a very pivotal day in the history of Fethi. Fethullah Gulen was obviously instrumental in creating this global enterprise of businesses, schools, and other opportunities for his followers around the world. We don't really know what's going to pan out after Fethullah Gulen's death. I think that's going to be one of the more interesting things, is the succession of Fethullah Gulen and this huge empire, and who's going to run it.
What I'd kind of forgotten, or we've certainly on the show forgotten about, how vast this really is. And now, remember, the CIA were the ones who said, why don't you come in here? You live in the Poconos. He's kind of protected. He's some intelligence protected status, and no one really has been able to penetrate the compound and find out what's going on. But again, Mark did this whole documentary about the charter schools, particularly in Texas. The numbers are astounding.
Mark, please tell us about the charter school chain of Fethi in the United States. First of all, how much money they are getting from the taxpayers, and how is the Fethi affecting the U.S. education system and the visa scandal?
Well, absolutely. The charter school system in the United States it's something unusual. Not many countries have this system where a private organization can come and petition the local state government to get a charter to run a public school. These are not private schools. These are public schools operated by an entity such as the Gulen movement, FETÖ, here in the United States. They operate about 200 of these charter schools around the country, and they receive a certain amount of tax dollars each year. In Texas, it can be between $8,000 and $9,000 per student per year. This money is guaranteed to the operator of the charter school. And currently, there's somewhere around 80 of these Fethullah Gulen FETÖ charter schools just in Texas alone. We'd estimate that they would be earning in excess of $800 million, perhaps even close to $1 billion now through the operation of these charter schools around the United States. So it's a tremendous amount of money. Obviously, some of that money has to go to the operation of the schools, but it's been estimated that perhaps 20% of that, let's say, $1 billion yearly is being used for other non-educational purposes of the Gulen movement or FETÖ here in the United States.
We need to get into the charter school business.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
sounds like a winner.
Big time. This is really good. I love that we have these experts. They're all part of No Agenda Nation.
Another thing, if you want to make money, is you can start digging around Gaza.
Oh, for the gold? I thought it was Lebanon. I didn't think it was Gaza.
No, is it Lebanon? Is it maybe it's Lebanon? It's expressed in this report. It's a bunker of cash.
Hold on.
Israel report.
Yes. Here we go.
And they actually have targeted or actually sent airstrikes on nearly 30 financial institutions in Lebanon that it says are linked to the Hezbollah terrorist group. And Israel has continued following the money all the way to a bunker underneath a hospital in Beirut. Israel said that over $500 million in cash and gold was stored there by the late Hezbollah's former leader, Hassan Nasrallah. Israel also warned Lebanese officials to not let Hezbollah use this money for terrorist activity. However, Secretary of State, Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin mentioned that the U.S. does not have any evidence of this bunker full of cash underneath the hospital in Beirut. But he said they will continue working with Israel to get more information.
There was a video that someone sent me on Telegram, I think, of a precision missile
hitting the apartment.
Yeah.
And dropping it.
And it's like it was like 9/11, like pull it.
I have a copy of that video. Whoa. It was turned into a GIF.
You can see
the people on the balcony, and then you see this horrible missile hitting the base of it, and it just drops the thing like a
rubble. Rubbleized.
It rubbleizes in just one shot. I was actually going to put it in the newsletter, and I decided not to because it's so gruesome.
It's gruesome. Well, when Trump comes in, one phone call, Abraham Accords 2, and we're good to go. And hopefully you can stop some of the climate change nonsense. I have two clips, although one is kind of funny. You remember the 15-minute cities? And the push,
they haven't stopped.
But the pushback, like it's a conspiracy theory. It's not true.
It's very true.
Here is CTV reporting on the 15-minute city of Edmonton.
After three years of planning, city administration is presenting its vision to accommodate a population of 2 million people through 15-minute cities. 3 days of public hearings on the plan began at City Hall this morning. Shailen Skulski has more.
The 50 new district plans and corresponding bylaws will replace 54 existing planning documents dating back to the 1980s. Administration says the goal is to accommodate 600,000 new residents in redeveloped areas with 50% of all new home units added through infill. The plan also calls for half of all future travel to be done by transit and for residents to access all their daily needs within 15 minutes. Not everyone supports the plan.
My understanding is that this means I will need to stay within my district to meet all my needs so that the city can meet its climate plan objectives.
I don't think Edmontonians can afford to be part of a renovation experiment of this size so quickly.
I think unfortunately a lot of the district plan in particular have been derailed by 15-minute cities, conspiracy theories, World Economic Forums, etc. At the end of the day, this is about land use.
So literally one of the council members like, no, it's a conspiracy theory. Well, they're calling it the 15-minute city. It's unbelievable.
What kind of a conspiracy is it?
Due to climate change.
There was the climate change, climate something of justice? What was that phrase that was in that report?
I don't know. It's stupid.
By the way, if you look in your archives, I had a clip about this Edmonton situation months ago.
No, more than a year ago, maybe.
Was it that? It was a long time ago. I've never played it.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, Edmonton's been
Here it is.
We are building a cohesive city with opportunities for local living.
Population is rapidly growing, and we have to be able to accommodate for that. Right now, the plans we have are kind of Frankenstein together over decades.
The 50 new district plans and corresponding bylaws will replace 54 existing planning documents dating back to the 1980s.
Our city is growing, and the more we can accommodate within existing infrastructure and existing neighborhoods, better it is for the taxpayers as well.
Administration says the goal is to accommodate 600,000 new residents in redeveloped areas with 50% of all new home units added through infill. The plan also calls for half of all future travel to be done by transit and for residents
same
to
report.
Access all their
it's
daily
like the
needs.
Same report a year later.
Due to climate change.
Now for the climate news that is mind-boggling. Kim Kardashian is going to help save the planet by donating a percentage of the sales of her new bra. And this bra is quite an instrument.
The Earth's temperature is getting hotter and hotter. The sea levels are rising. The ice sheets are shrinking. And I'm not a scientist, but I do believe everyone can use their skill set to do their part.
What?
She says she's not a scientist.
No.
But and I said, no kidding.
Oh, okay, well.
The ice sheets are shrinking, and I'm not a scientist. But I do believe everyone can use their skill set to do their part. That's why I'm introducing a brand new bra with a built-in nipple. So no matter how hot it is, you'll always look cold. Some days are hard, but these nipples are harder. And
oh,
unlike
my
the
God.
These aren't going anywhere.
The Skims Ultimate Nipple Bra.
Due to climate change.
Yes, so this...
Oh, my God.
What's
wrong with these people?
This bra has built-in nipples. It's the new trend. Free the nipple. Free the nipple. It's so hot.
Due to climate change.
That it's cold with a Kim Kardashian bra. Yeah. And they say that we're perverting children. I don't think so.
No.
I just have two more things I actually need to read to you.
Well, before you do that, let's play. I got another offbeat clip. Might as well get it out of the way.
All right.
Because this is information I had no idea. Because if you think about it, it obviously has to happen. You know, all the container ships going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. Containers fall off and drop into the ocean with goods and services in, well, no services, but goods. And the numbers are ridiculously high.
In rough seas, shipping containers don't always reach their destination, but their contents can make it into the ocean and back to land. Retired ecologist Russ Lewis knows all too well.
I found a calling just to go out here and give back to the beach and collect all this junk, you know, that's washing in. You know, anything you can find in the landfills out there in that ocean, and when the conditions are right, some of it lands on the beach.
Lewis patrols along the coast of Long Beach Peninsula in Washington State. He's picked up some strange items over the years.
Some other things started showing up, like those Croc shoes, those helmets, you know, the tennis ball sleeves, the volleyballs, and the little footballs.
Nearly 2,000 containers containing these products slid into the Pacific after a cargo ship hit heavy swells in November 2020. Many of the others are likely the same ones that started showing up on Lewis's beach.
That's definitely a container spill. When you find more of the same thing more than once, you know, if you find it three or four times, that kind of strikes me. This container spill material, plus it has some biofouling on it.
Most of the world's everyday goods are packed in these large metal boxes and stacked on ships. Joe Kramick is the president and CEO of the World Shipping Council. He says 250 million containers shipped last year.
these boxes have revolutionized world trade because they're very easy to pack. They're very easy to load in most cases.
More than 20,000 shipping containers have tumbled overboard in the last 15 years. Cargo ships can lose anywhere from a single container to hundreds at a time in rough seas.
When you lose containers offshore, you have to report that loss to some type of government authority because it's a hazard to navigation. And it might be a pollution hazard depending on what's inside that container.
The United Nations International Maritime Organization is trying to tackle the problem with new rules, but it currently has no way to enforce them.
Well, we could have tightened that report up a little bit.
Yeah, it was a crappy report, but it's the only one I have. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize there's 250 million containers going back and forth and back and forth. That's a lot.
Well, yeah, due to climate change.
Yeah, it says, yeah.
So
yeah.
Big news out of the Netherlands, and luckily I speak the language, so I'm looking through all of the documents. I don't have a complete report, but the headline is that Bill Gates will have to stand trial in the Netherlands, along with other defendants, in a COVID vaccine injury lawsuit, as the courts have decided that there was enough people in this, what's the name of the Stichting Recht Onrecht, which is a nonprofit of what the news is calling the Corona Skeptics, who have sued Gates, along with former Dutch Prime Minister and our new NATO Secretary General, Mark Rutte. Other defendants include Albert Bourla of Pfizer. And the main complaint is that that Gates, through his representatives, including these government officials, deliberately misled these victims of COVID shots about the safety of the COVID-19 vaccinations, despite knowing that these injections were, in fact, not safe and effective. And the court has said yes in Leeuwarden, which is, that's the court you don't want to go to. That's, Leeuwarden is pretty much the only, that's where you go to court, you get in trouble. Bad news out there. It's a long drive, too, from Amsterdam. So Gates' attorneys had objected, saying, there's no jurisdiction. But the court said, no. We have looked into it, and we decided that indeed they have standing, and you will have to appear.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Now, this is pretty big.
This is not being reported well.
Well,
you just get what your report right there is better than anything I've heard so far
on the whole show.
No, reported in the mainstream media. Oh, this report about Gates being, yes, you know, commandeered,
yes,
to appear in Holland to testify about or to face charges, I guess is what, yes, it really amounts to.
Well, it's literally about the safe and effective. Just think about the results of that lawsuit could be determining for a lot of people who are saying safe and effective and were on the take directly or indirectly from Big Pharma through advertising.
Somebody has to break this open.
Yeah. Well, it would be good if it started there. And then I want to share, and this is the final thing I have before we take another break. Final thing, I've received a lot of similar notes, but this was the most succinct and the most interesting one regarding TikTok addiction. And, we had this conversation on episode 1704, and, you rightly said that you had no issue with addiction because you just look at stuff on the web browser, on your desktop, you're not on the app, and the apps are built, and have had some success with addicting young people. And here's the note from a Zoomer. And our Zoomer says, I was listening to episode 1704, had something to contribute based on your idea that it's all older people who are addicted to TikTok. In my experience, you're right. I'm a Zoomer, born in 1997, more or less the cutoff year for Zoomers, and have had a device with an internet connection basically since I was born in one form or another. I don't recommend this, he says, or she says. Both in college and out in the working world, there were two groups of people my age I saw. Those who were horribly addicted to social media and porn, and those who used to be horribly addicted to social media and porn. Wow, that's like two kinds of pilots, one who have had a wheels up landing and one who will have a wheels up landing. I hang around the second type. Good for you. Today, I don't know a single person my age who uses TikTok besides to make money with advertising. However, when I was working in blue-collar jobs in the Midwest, beer delivery, for instance, all of the older employees were on TikTok constantly. These people were all millennials at the youngest and boomers at the oldest. It almost seemed like the older they were, the more addicted to TikTok they were. There were also the people, these are also the people who would talk about subscribing to the OnlyFans accounts of local women so they could, quote, they could, and I quote, see their buttholes.
Oh, God.
I'm very happy to have recently started working from home full time as an author. I think in general, Zoomers are the most split generation at the moment. Half of the Zoomers I meet are more religious than their parents, are 100% anti-vax, want to get married, move out into the country, and are so conservative that the news call us extremists. I'm Catholic. I'm a Catholic who goes to a parish with a Latin mass, so I'm basically a terrorist. The other half of the
that's good.
The other half of the Zoomers are mutilating either themselves or their kids, getting STDs from their polycules and practicing witchcraft. There's basically nothing in between. Oh, and both groups are broke. Just wanted to give you my anecdotal evidence in support of your theory. God bless from our Zoomer. Zoomer boots on the ground. I think this sounds true to me.
Well, I can't say one way or the other.
We're open to,
I mean, I believe that, well, I mean, I use TikTok for purposes that, for example, I have a clip.
Oh,
that you brought it up. That's the kind of thing.
Not to see buttholes. No, I don't believe that you use TikTok.
No, I don't think that's that's something that if you have a dog, you don't use enough.
Okay, your clip, yes?
Yes, this is the kind of crazy clips you get off of TikTok. This reason is attractive to me, so I can see. It's because you listen to these people, you go, what is wrong with these people?
If somebody decides to loot a Gucci or a Macy's or a Nike, because that makes sure that that person eats. That makes sure that that person has clothes. That's reparations. That is reparations. Anything they want to take, take it, because these businesses have insurance. They're going to get their money back. My people aren't getting anything.
Oh, man. This was a big thing when all the looting was going on, in Chicago in particular, the Miracle Mile and everything.
Yeah. Well, they're still saying it. It's a fairly new clip, I think.
Mm.
It could be an old one. They're playing, they were recycling a lot of stuff. I think even today's show, when they, where it was, that idiot on MSNBC playing clips from Trump in 2016, 2015. I mean, come on, who cares?
Yeah.
But meanwhile, they won't play Kamala clips.
Come on, say it together now. Kamala.
I can barely do it.
Kamala.
Kamala. They can't play any Kamala clips from 2019, 2020, because, you know, it's just too old. But they'll play Trump's okay in 2016. Okay, sure.
Again, I'm baffled by your surprise at the media.
I feign surprise.
Yeah, okay.
I'm going to show my support by donating to No Agenda. Imagine all the people who could do that. Oh, yeah, that'd be fun.
I'm shocked.
No Agenda. Hey, now. All right, we do have our tip of the day coming up. We have some pretty cool end of show mixes, very nice meetup reports, and we want to thank, it's a rather short list from here, I want to thank the rest of our producers who came in $50 and above by going to noagendadonations.com and supporting the show with their treasure. That's your
cue. We start with Robin Tolbert in Topeka, Kansas. 153 is a birthday for her, and she wants a biscuit for her birthday. I think we can do that.
Yes, biscuit for your birthday.
They always give me a biscuit on my birthday.
Ian Field, 100. Oh, she came in with 153. Ian Field, 100. Jason Maurer in Vancouver, Washington, which is smart money because you don't have to pay personal income tax, and you cross over the border to, it's right across from Portland, and you don't have to pay sales tax. You get no tax. Get pretty, and the people in Portland complain bitterly about this.
Mm.
These people are coming to our and frequenting our businesses, and they're not paying taxes. Give me a break. Brian Lillard in Prosper, Texas, 8888. Kevin McLaughlin's there already in Concord, North Carolina. He is the Archduke of Luna and lover of American boobs. Well, she comes to mind because of the boob donation of 8008. Brian Kaufman in Scottsdale, Arizona, 7575. Joshua Nunn in St. John, New Brunswick, 72. Tip for a tip. I followed up on Adam's tip about the cat something phone. Some phone.
Oh, no, it's the Cat S22. It's a dynamite phone. It is unattractive, so you'll basically never use it except for some texting and phone calls. And you, too, can live like John C. Dvorak.
Well, I keep my phone in a drawer.
Well,
Rick, Arlington, Washington, 6996. Roe in Cumming, Georgia, 6325. It's a happy birthday to me. But Roe.
Yes, Roe.
Matthew Elwart in Weatherford, Texas, 6006. Small boobs and some unknown person in Aledo, Texas. Oh, Mark Hardwick, 6006. Scott Mengele?
Mengele.
He's in Exton, Pennsylvania, 5555, and he's appreciative of the newsletter. People should go subscribe to it because of the pile of McDonald's memes that I incorporate in the last newsletter, which accounted for all the money we got.
NoAgendaShow.net, everybody.
Michael Ragus, 5555. Hakan Andreessen in Portland, Oregon, 5272. Henry, Baron of Outpost in Rancho Palos Verdes, 5242. Forrest Martin, 5005. And Andrew Benz in Imperial, Missouri, 5005. And the rest are $50 donors. I'm just going to name them and their location, starting with Nicholas Rudowich in Harper's Ferry, West Virginia. Michael Sikora, New Richmond, Wisconsin. Alexa Delgado in Aptos. Gaucho Woodworking. Check them out. It's online. Just look it up. In Redondo Beach, California. Brett Denton. They make a gaucho. They do a lot of nice cutting boards that are the high-end ones you want for Christmas. Denton, Boise, Idaho. Samuel Cannerday in North Riverside, Illinois. Leanne Shipley in Covington, Washington. Sir Greg in Newport, North Carolina. Michael Statham. Sir Canabrake and Dame Tracy in St. George, Louisiana. And last on our list is Luca, which is a mess here because it's Unicode.
Yeah,
guessing it's Roskowski or something like that.
It used to work, Unicode.
What changed?
I don't know. Something happened.
He's in Croatia. It's about time we heard from Croatia.
Yes, hello, Croatians.
And Croatia, which is I would recommend visiting there. It's a really nice place. I've been there a couple of times.
Especially the mountains and the coast. It's beautiful.
Well, what you want to get to is Dubrovnik.
Dubrovnik, yeah. Jamoknik.
So anyway, Luca, thanks. I can't read your last name because it's impossible.
Thank you to all of these donors and those who came in under $50. Again, anonymity there, so we don't mention those. And of course, our sustaining donors, which you can do at any amount, any frequency, whatever you want. Support the show, people. Go to noagendadonations.com. Here's a pre-tip before John's tip of the day. Stop emailing me with questions you want Joe Rogan to ask Trump. And stop asking me what time Trump will be there. In fact, I'm pretty sure that Trump and Joe are doing the interview today and it will air tomorrow. I have a feeling that they're doing it today because Joe likes to keep his studio kind of off the grid, and some people.
Oh, that's a good idea. You're probably right.
You know, there are people already congregating outside the Mothership Comedy Club. That's not where he does his show. So I have no idea. I have no idea. Let's put it that way. I have no idea. But please, I'm not able to help you with telling Joe what he should do with the Trump interview.
He's going to do what he does.
He always does. NoAgendaDonations.com. Thank you all very much for supporting the show. Here's a karma with a goat for anyone who needs
it. You've got karma.
Robin Tolbert is turning 53 years old today. Happy birthday. And tomorrow, London Foley celebrates his 19th birthday. And he is, of course, the son of Grand Duke David Foley of the United States, the Grand Duke of the United States. Gina B wishes her smoking hot husband, Eduardo Jimenez, a happy one, turning 42 on the 27th. And Cody Dowd, soon to be Commodore, wishes his son, Cade, a very happy birthday. He'll be celebrating on November 12th. Chad Spacey, happy birthday to his piping hot girlfriend, E Squared, on the 16th of November. And Roe and Cumming, Georgia, is celebrating. Happy birthday for everybody here at the best podcast in the universe. And before we move anywhere, we have our Commodores. I'm very excited to welcome a brand new list of the Commodores. Remember, noagendarings.com is where you can tell us what you want on your Commodore certificate. And we will be sending those out to you very soon. Commodore Dr. Rachel, Commodore Gigi, Commodore Dame Marie, Commodore Nick, Commodore James, Commodore Vincent, Commodore Dame Tracy of the Roman Rite, Commodore Sir Canebrake, Commodore Cade of Nueces County and Corpus Christi Bay, Commodore Doder of the Southern Gulf Coast Fleet, Commodore Dude Named Ben, Commodore 64, Commodore John Yaglensky, Commodore Charles Mayfield, Commodore Richard Coban, Commodore Michael Coupon, Commodore Sir Luke, and Commodore J Stroke, and Commodore Jesus Farah, arriving gentlemen and dame. I think we have a dame in there. Congratulations on becoming a Commodore. Go to noagendarings.com. That's where you can find all the information that we need in order to send you off that very handsome Commodore ship certificate. No knights, no dames, no title change today, so we go straight through to the meetups.
No agenda meetups.
Big party in Indianapolis. Here is the always quickly, swiftly edited meetup report from the Indy Meetup.
Hi, this is Sir Mark.
And this is Dame Maria from Indianapolis.
And the October surprises, Biden and Harris are taken out, and Mike Johnson becomes president-elect.
Sir Benny, just wishing everybody the best.
Dame Swanee, in the morning, after Sir Edward's long speech.
This is Baron Foxbat of the Cook Islands. The October surprise is all the friends I made along the way.
In the morning, this is Emily the Shufflecrat, and we're missing a net.
This is Brewski here, just drinking some beers at the Blind Owl.
Hi, it's Gary here. Sorry I missed the last couple months, but even a spook has to go in and get reprogrammed.
In the morning, John and Adam, Sir PBR Street Gang, and my October surprise is the reveal. The real Joe Biden is our own Baron here in Indianapolis.
In the morning, Dame Trinity having a great time in Indy. My October surprise, may all your surprises be sweet and gentle.
Dame Cindy of the Titos here at the Indy Meetup. My October surprise would be FEMA actually helps somebody in North Carolina.
John in the morning from Indianapolis. My October surprise, Taylor Swift's gonna come out as a dude.
In the morning, my name is Justin Sams. You're a local sperm cell, and I'm out here hanging out and drinking beer with all these old timers.
This is Raymond from Michigan One, stopping by for a quick beer. Thanks for the hospitality.
This is Lisa, Michigan Local One. Shut up already, it's science.
In the morning from Indianapolis, this is Matt Sams, and the October surprise is gonna be when the aliens finally reveal themselves to us.
Sir Edward Tadden Hall, Baron of Flowery Over Country here in my personal capacity. Today.
This is Nick, and my October surprise is Tim Waltz being sucked into a jet plane engine on Halloween.
In the morning, I'm Syrup of the Maple, and as an immigrant, I want to clarify, I love dogs, I love cats, let's exchange recipes.
Hi, this is Brandy, and I'm here with No Agenda. I work at the Blind Owl, and they are a wild group.
In the morning, October!
Surprise!
Wonderful. Thank you very much, Indie Crew. You guys always have the best meetup reports. Thank you, Annette, for editing that together. And now we go to Florida for their October 6th meetup report.
In the morning, it's Brian from the Central Florida meetup, where we are shooting guns and smashing burgers.
In the morning, John and Adam, boogie, boogie, boogie. It's Christian from Stewart.
Good morning, John and Adam. It's Denise from Stewart. We're having a great time.
In the morning, it's Bill from Stewart. It's a great time and a beautiful day. Pew, pew. Stay from Orlando.
John and Adam, it's Jamie Addison here. Love you guys. Mean it.
Paul, I love what I do and I love my truck.
Hey, this is Jorge. Thanks for the sanity.
Hi, this is Melissa. And don't eat me, Joe Biden. You're scary. Don't scare me.
In the morning, this is Dame Rachel of the Dome. This was a fantastic venue.
In the morning, this is Terry Hopper from Arkansas, a rookie in this group.
In the morning, it's Mark Hopper. I'm a rookie in this group, but I had a great time.
In la mañana, Dame Zill and Adrett.
No agenda meetups can change lives. Connection is protection.
It's Leslie, and it's like a party.
Sir Faith Tension here, taking a shot at my first meetup. Thank you, everybody. It's been a blast.
Hello, Baronetta of Fat Point.
Hey, this is Ronnie, my second meetup, and I'm loving it.
This is Circumcised, Guardian of the Fat Point. Had a great time out here. My Italian-made Benelli barrel was so hot, you could cook bacon on it.
And they had a good time shooting guns and doing all kinds of fun stuff. I believe Reiki Princess organized that. Thank you very much for that meetup report. And we do have some meetups taking place today at 6 o'clock to North Georgia Monthly at Cherry Street Brewing in Alpharetta. The October Surprise in Lincoln's Roadhouse, Denver, Colorado, 6:30 tonight. Tomorrow, the OOO Porto Portugal meetup, 6 o'clock at French Fries Factory in Porto. I would love to have a meetup report from you guys. On Saturday, the Insane Diego October Renaissance meetup at 11 in the morning, Felicita Park in Escondido, California. Sir Spooky's Halloween Spooktacular, the third time around, 2 o'clock at Milk Money Brewing in LaGrange, Illinois. The Tiny Amygdala of Anchorage, with Wings and Ribs, 2 o'clock in Alaska, Anchorage, Campbell Park. Another meetup report we need to have. And another one on Saturday, the Longest Standing Member London meetup, Part 3. And they'll be celebrating the No Agenda birthday. That's at the Lore of the Land Pub in Ottawa. The Ottawa meetup, 4:33 at Johnny's Canucks Bar and Grill in Ottawa, of course, Ontario, Scandinavia. The Showing Buns meetup at Whole Sopple Brewing in Louisville, Kentucky on Saturday at 5 o'clock. And Dempsey's has the Central Ohio meetup at 5:30 scheduled in Columbus. And finally, the 13th Northwest Houston No Agenda meetup, Halloween edition, 7 o'clock at Wakefield Crowbar in Houston, Texas. Many more meetups on the list going all the way through January and all over the world. You just heard it. Connection is protection. No Agenda meetups change lives. Have yours changed. Go to noagendameetups.com. If you can't find one near you, start one yourself. It's easy.
Sometimes you want to go hang out with all the nights and days. You want to be where you want to be, triggered or held to blame. You want to be where everybody feels the same.
It's like a party. Changing lives. I like that. No Agenda Meetup changes lives. It does. Change yours today. Go to noagendameetups.com. And I appear to have only two ISOs today. I'm kind of lagging.
Well, I have three. I don't think there's one that might be good. Okay. You have to figure it out. My three, they're short. Start with exciting.
Exciting.
It's getting exciting.
Here too.
We are here to help.
We'll cut off at the end there.
Studies.
Backed by clinical studies.
I don't know if I have anything better.
Ooh, all right, Gio.
That's dumb. Here's the only one I have.
Hitler is back.
That's the only one I have. I know.
I think exciting is the one I'd pick then.
Getting exciting.
Yeah, I think I think you're right on that. And now, ladies and gentlemen, time for the moment that everyone's always waiting for, John's tip of the day.
Great advice from you and me, just the tip with JCD. And sometimes Adam.
All right, I'm going to promote a product.
No kidding. Really? That's new?
So this I would say about 15 years ago when I was at the bank, when we, the Mechanics Bank, they turn over their tellers too much. And there was one girl there was preoccupied with pens. And so she handed me a pen to sign something or write up something. And I said, wow, what is this? And she says, I'm always looking for the best pens because she has to use a pen all day and at the as a bank teller. And so she's found these pens. I've been using them ever since.
Okay.
It's smooth as silk. It's like there's no friction. There's no force. It's a fabulous product. And it's the Paper Mate Ink Joy gel pen,
Which
ballpoint
number?
Pen.
Which number?
The 0.07 millimeter, the medium tip.
Mm-hmm.
And once you start using these things, you'll never go to any other pen. It's just like, and you just buy a batch of them every so often. Before I discovered this pen, I used to be one of those guys who go to trade shows a lot, and I go
pens.
There's all these, you know, there's these different vendors that get pens, so I always have piles and piles of pens that I have a whole bag full of pens, like a cheap guy who steals pens from the office. I did that too.
At Mevio.
Well, Mevio never had any pens, but you know these pens are no good. This pen is a killer pen. It just writes like so smooth that you don't want to use anything else.
I remember having a pen conversation on the show for several episodes, in fact, and I believe we came down to the Paper Mate then as well. Do you recall this?
No, I don't.
Hmm.
But it's the Ink Joy in particular, and what makes some sense because Paper Mate's one of the oldest pen makers ever.
I'd say what's interesting is that the tips people like the most from this show have been pens and phones.
Phones.
I have received so many inquiries about the Cat S22. I must have 15 people saying, what was that phone? What was that phone?
We had one today.
Yeah, it's only $63, brand new on Amazon. It's dynamite. You will love it.
It's the Cat. What's the brand?
Cat, C-A-T. It's a Caterpillar brand phone.
It says Caterpillar?
It says Cat, C-A-T, in the Cat logo.
So it's a Cat, so it might, there might be some relationship. You know, in the early days of computing, and these things are almost impossible to find, but when they had the first, when you had your double, floppy disk drives, you see the two drives. The first guys who used double density, double-sided floppies, it was a computer made by John Deere.
No.
Yes, John Deere, and the computer land used to sell them. And the John Deere computer was on the market for about a year and a half to 2 years, and then they bailed out. To find, and this is what, when you just said no, is an example of try to find any document. I would like somebody to back me up here, because you cannot find the history of this computer anywhere.
Thursday, November 24th, 2016. Episode 880 of your No Agenda show.
It's the Paper Mate Ink Joy. Ink, she said, was
Ink Joy.
I guess I liked it that much back then.
Is absolutely fantastic.
You know, how about that? You're recycling tips, Dvorak. That's
well,
age.
It wasn't a tip of the day, though.
No, it was not tip of the day. Beautiful troll room. Thank you so much. There you go, everybody.
Are you looking for good advice? Perhaps something practical or something you really need. Try the No Agenda Tip of the Day. Professional quality tips from the best podcast in the universe.
NoAgendaTips.tipoftheday.net and NoAgendaFun.com is where you can review all of these dynamite tips. They really are the best tips. There's no doubt about it. End of show mixes from Robert Darby, Tom Starkweather. We've got Lee Oldepuke and Danny Luce is back. Good to have him back as well. And right after the No Agenda show on the stream, on your modern podcast app, in the troll room, Fun Fact Friday. It's a great dad and daughter combo podcast. And in episode 205, they will be discussing stolen DNA. Layla and her dad. It's a good show. And that does it. Thank you all very much for your support, your time, your talent, your treasure. Congratulations, Commodores. And we look forward to our next episode, which will be our birthday celebration, 17 years. And we never had a fight. Coming to you from the heart of the Texas Hill Country here in Fredericksburg, Texas, FEMA Region Number 6 in the morning, everybody. I'm Adam Curry.
And from Northern Silicon Valley, I'm John C. Dvorak.
We return on Thursday for our 17th celebration. Join us, will you? There's cake for everybody. Until then, hey, remember us at noagendadonations.com. Until then, adios, mofos, a hooey hooey, and such.
Oh, Lydia, oh, Lydia, say, have you heard Lydia? Lydia, the loudmouth lady. She spouted off at old King Chill, then to his wife, the Queen Camille. Oh, Lydia, that viable chlamydia. Oh, Lydia, who's full of abuse. She threatened a strip club for throwing her out because of the rules she decided to flout. And then she inferred one day she'd take him out. So watch what you say around Lydia. Oh, Lydia, crammed full of insidia. Oh, Lydia, the loudmouth lady. She prostrated herself right down on the ground, and soon we heard her obnoxious sound. Oh, Lydia, rained on the parade of the gladiators. Oh, Lydia, the grandstanding shrew. Crocodile tears and a box of tissues. Some they might say she's got daddy issues. If she's headed your way, you should cross the street. If she gets her way, you will bow at her feet, and you'll pray to the cult of Lydia.
This will be America's new golden age.
He said, we won't do that. I said, yes, you will, 100%. He said, we won't. I said, yes, you will. He said, no way. I said, way. And this woman is crazy.
You know, this crazy Kamala thing is just crazy. What would you do differently? I can't think of anything. Kamala, you're fired. Get out. Get out. Get out. You're fired.
Every vote matters. And the way we can make that happen is we can have national voting. That means get rid of the Electoral College.
Remember, I did win more than 3 million votes than my opponent.
Hillary Clinton now says she wants the U.S. Electoral College system abolished.
Check the Constitution.
Didn't Hillary get most of her popular vote in one state, California? California? California?
The Electoral College has gone down. It was too old to stick around. Soon one state will dominate. Dominate. DC Power is here to stay. We will tell you what to say. We will educate all of you. Please worship Greta Thunberg. Your kids will become Greta Thunberg. California Democrats. California Democrats.
You were asked to clarify if you believe Trump lost the 2020 election. Do you believe he lost the 2020 election? Yes or no? Senator, yes or no? The 2020 election. The answer is no. If you believe Trump lost the 2020 election, do you believe he lost
2020? I'm much more worried about what happened after 2020, which is a said that I would have voted against certification because.
To clarify, if you believe Trump lost the 2020 election, the answer is no.
What do you have to
lose?
So you question, is it okay to censor the Hunter Biden laptop story?
Senator, yes or no? 2020 election. Do you believe he lost the 2020 election?
I think that Donald Trump and I have both.
The 2020 election.
Big tech.
Debate. You were asked to clarify if you believe Trump lost the 2020 lose the 2020 election.
Millions of votes.
Senator Vance, I'm going to ask you again. Did Donald Trump lose the 2020
election?
I answered
your question with another question. You answer my question and I'll answer yours.
Or no. Senator, yes or no?
Donald Trump and I have both raised a number of issues.
I think that is very important for the American people to believe Trump lost the 2020 election.
I think that when you have technology companies.
Yeah, yes or no? Senator, yes or no?
Repeating a slogan around the election.
The debate you were asked to clarify if you believe Trump lost the 2020 election. Do you believe he lost the
2020 voting against certification because of the concern that I just raised? I think that when you have a technology company.
The answer is no.
When you have
Senator, yes or no?
Let me ask Americans at a mass scale in a way that, again, and to think that Donald Trump and I have both raised the I think that-
Mofo.
Dvorak.org.
/NA.
Getting exciting.